Blog Talk Radio.
For asking, and we want to minister to you tonight, so get ready for that. Tonight is our what we call our dedicated prophetic night, where we prophesy and we pray over you specifically, individually, and we don't really talk to people. We just kind of dedicate our time to ministering to you, prophesying over you, praying over you. It's called prayer, but when I pray, I prophesy. Some people who have healing ministry, when they pray, they see healing going. When I pray, I prophesy. That's kind of it in a nutshell. All right, so it just kind of comes natural, even though it's supernatural, kind of comes natural in the sense that, you know, God just, when it's your gift God's giving you, you just flow in it. It's just a flow. Hard to explain. People who don't understand that, it's difficult unless you have a gift of God in somehow or another, some way. Some people are just good at mathematics, you know, and they just, you talk about mathematics, they just like, rattle off all kinds of stuff. It's just natural for them because it's kind of a gift. You know, they think like that. They're made for that. Some people are geniuses that are mathematical. I mean, you know, you just give them something to figure out and, you know, it's just like it's no struggle, no strain, no sweat. They just give you the answer, right? And we got other people who know a lot about mathematics. They still struggle with things, but geniuses just kind of like, you know, it's just natural. It's easy. And so, you know, so I use that as an example of gifts. When you have gifts going on, you know, that's what happens. God just, it's a gift of God, and it's a gift of God, right? It's not a gift of man. It's a gift for man from God, but it's a gift of God. And when you start seeing that, when you start understanding that, it's pretty cool. It's just kind of, you know, I've had friends of mine tell me who know me or in the ministry, been in the ministry longer than me, said, Randy, when you prophesy, it's like you could prophesy, you know, standing on your head, you know, and it's true because it's the gift God's given. And so it's the edify, it's to serve people with. And when you take your gifts, whatever that gift is, whether it's mathematics in the natural realm or, you know, the prophetic realm or whatever you have you serve in, and you serve with that, you become well-known. You become great. That's what happens. He said, the ones who serve become greatest. Why? Because, you know, when you take something that God's given you and you serve his people and serve him, you become very focused with that. You become very powerful in that. Why? Because, you know, you're dedicating your life or you're dedicating your time, what you have, what you do, to that gift that God's given for his people. And when you dedicate yourself to that, it just kicks in and becomes, you know, God makes it easy. There's no sweat. Now, when I'm praying and doing other things and praying for other stuff, sometimes I sweat a little bit. You know, I sweat, you know. But in the prophetic realm, it's just like chewing gum for me, you know. And it's not a natural thing because in the natural, I couldn't even talk to people. In the natural realm, before I got saved, I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't even rattle off sentences at all. And by the Spirit, it's just, you know, when we start understanding that the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and he's our closest friend, he's not just connected to us, he lives inside of us. And it's amazing. He's our dearest friend. He's our confidant. He's our teacher. He's the lover of our soul. He's the one who, if we depend on him, shares everything we need to know. He may not share everything God knows, because what good does it do you to have information that doesn't benefit your life or benefit the life of people that you serve? If it benefits the life of people that you serve or benefits you for the kingdom of God's sake, you know, I say benefit you for the kingdom of God's sake, don't forget that, and benefit God's people for the kingdom of God's sake, then, you know, he really blesses it. And it's just he pours out through it and he blesses you because you become great. I mean, you got to think about that. You want to become great? Become a servant. Put God first. First the kingdom of God. In fact, that's kind of the information that I got right before I got on the show tonight was the first word, the word first, the word first. We're going to see God moving into the realm of first, you know. And, you know, I got a couple of scriptures here just right before the show. I'm not sure if I have all of them I need, but, one of them is, you know, on the word first, as this is the prophetic word for the season that we're in, that the dedication of our lives to putting God first is what's going to make us great. When I say, I don't have a problem with saying the word great, because only God can truly make you great. And the only way you can become great is become a servant. So you must become a servant to be great, right? And you can't just be trying to be great and trying to make yourself a servant. You don't try to become great. You try to become, you focus your attention on serving. And when you focus your attention on serving and you learn to serve, find the gifts God's given you, the ones that are easy for you, the ones that flow through you, not stumble and, you know, I mean, when I first started prophesying, I stumbled, you know, here and there. And I still stumble a little bit here and there. But as a general whole, the prophetic word, it just flows out of me because it's the gift God's given me and I've focused it on serving God's people, as you know. We don't charge for it. We serve. You know, we serve and if God leads me, you know, if we're doing serving correctly and serving with love, then what does he do? He blesses us and he causes the people that we serve to, you know, realize that God's doing something and we don't understand it all, but we know God's doing something. And so, and because we're connected, because you're connected to this and I'm connected to this together and we serve together, whatever gifts God's given you, give it freely. Don't charge for it. I'm not saying if you're at work and you have the gift of mathematics and you get paid for that, I'm not saying it's wrong at all. But I'm talking about, you know, the gifts of God and serving the body of Christ. And Paul the Apostle mentioned several times, I listen to the word all the time, and when he talks, he says, you know, I came to you, I don't know why you think I'm less than the rest of those other guys who charge you for everything, right? He's the super apostles. He said, I come to you and I don't charge anything, you know? And, you know, and so it's like, you know, what's up with that? You have a problem with that? What's going on? And Paul talks about, you know, he was a money raiser. Nothing wrong with raising money. I wouldn't mind raising money. If God gave me the grace to raise money, I'd raise money. But it's not selling things. It's not, you know, going after the buck for yourself. You go after the buck because you're serving God, right? Not manipulating and wheeling and dealing. But Paul the Apostle raised money. He even said he went in and robbed some congregations so he could give to others. That's what he said. He said, I robbed some of the congregation just so I could give to you, you know. So robbing them means that he went in and he raised money. He didn't wheel and deal, and you know, he used that terminology, but he didn't really rob them. Of course, he didn't hold a gun to them and say, you know, give me all your money, or else I'm going to tell the Lord on you or something. You know, he was talking about how that, you know, he went after it and he raised money. Nothing wrong with raising money. Raising money is great, and if you're raising money for the kingdom of God and it's for the work of God, then God will bless you because you're using the money-raising gift, if you will, not money manipulation, not money, not selling things, not wheeling and dealing, at least as far as, you know, the fivefold ministry and the kingdom of God and selling and manipulating to get money from the revelation of Jesus. Other than that, you know, the money realm is can do whatever. But in the kingdom of God, on the priestly side, when we serve, God makes you great. That's what he does. And when you become great, great meaning you become important, because he says that if you humble yourself, I will exalt you in due season. Right? So you have to go through a season of humbling yourself. When you do, he exalts you, or he lifts you up, or he makes you great. We got to get used to that. People say, oh, we don't want to be great. Yeah, we want to be great. The thing is, we want to be great for the right reasons and be great because God raised us up. How? Because we became a servant. And even on the job where you get paid, when you have a servant attitude, I mean, everybody's going to want you. I'm not talking about a slavery mentality. I'm talking about a servant mentality. You're there to serve. You're not there to just get what you can and then take it home and, you know, and do whatever. You're there to serve and to give your best. And even though you're paying you for it, and more than likely you're going to become great there, because servants always become great. Some of the wealthiest men in the world and women in the world are people who learn how to serve the public. You know, in the business world, they learn how to serve. Man, when you learn how to serve, you become great. Why? Because you give people a good service. You know, look at some of the delivery services, like Amazon and others. You know, they became great. What do? They all come to your door and serve you. You see, they have their servants' uniforms on, right? They don't come to you dressed in king's robes. Right? They come dressed in their servant robes. You know, the little brown shorts and little brown shirt and UPS on there, or you know, with Amazon, they have their Amazon stuff, and you know, so they serve. And the more you learn how to serve and have a heart, especially if you have to have a heart after God, and God teaches you how to serve, not just serve as a preacher or serve as a minister or as a Christian or as a prayer warrior or intercessor, but to serve as a business person. So when you tap into the service realm, that's why Bezos, you know, the guy who runs Amazon, became one of the wealthiest men of the world, because he fixed his website. He did everything he did to serve the people, making it easy for people to partake of his system. And it was all about serving people, serving people, serving people. So the same thing in the kingdom of God, the same thing with God. If we serve God, and serve by serving his people and offer the gifts that God has given us and make it easy and make it non-obligatory, if you will, and there to serve, like, you know, even though, you know, Amazon charges you for the services, you know, they have found themselves in, you know, taking good care of people. You know, they have a good service. If they mess up something, they fix it. They take care of your money. They make sure you get all these things to take care of your account. And when they deliver things, they make sure that they have a system that delivered it correctly and right. And yeah, you pay for that, but that's the business world. And nothing wrong with that, by the way. Right? If you call to the business world and you mix in servanthood like they do, like when you go to the grocery store, what are they? You go to Walmart, you go to the grocery, wherever you go. Of course, a lot of it's become self-service, right? But, you know, even in just the way they service their shelves and the way they make the signs easy for you to find things, all that is serving you. It's serving you. And when people go into your store and it's easy to find what they need, and they find people there, you know, have good systems and take care of their business good, they're going to be coming back. Even though they're paying for it, they're going to pay for it. You know, make it easy. Make it a service to the people. And friend, when you do that, God's going to bless you. So my word tonight, I'm kind of going all over the place with this, but the word I got before I came on tonight, just right before I came on, I wish I had more time to do this, it's really, really good word, is about the word first. First love. That's the only two scriptures I found, and the only two first that I've found so far, and within 15 minutes, 20 minutes within the show, is first love. And seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God, right? And it talks about in what Revelations that you bless your first love. You know, love God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right? So if you want all things added to you, see that when you see the reward for that, and God doesn't reward you because you're faking it like you're doing it. Now, he only rewards you if you're really doing it. When Abraham offered up Isaac, he really did it. So when you're really doing it in your heart, God knows it. And so Matthew 6:33, but seek first. This is the word, the prophetic word tonight about what God is releasing into the earth is what is put first. Like some people put their family first. Some people put their business first. Some people put their ministry first. Some people put a lot of things first, money first. But when you seek, this is about what you're seeking. But when you're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, in other words, it's not just seek his kingdom first, it's seek his righteousness first also. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is loving Jesus, and when you love him, you want to do right. You will just do right when you love him first. That's why it says your first love. Talk about your first love. It's the Lord. Love him first. And you will find out that, you will just automatically do the right thing. That's why love is so powerful. That's what we've been talking about lately. That when you love something, you don't have to have somebody telling you to go. If you love your work, if you love being with your family, if you love whatever it is whatever you're doing, you look forward to getting there. You look forward to going where you're going when you love it. Now, if you dread work, if you dread being with your family, you're going to find all these excuses why not to be with them first, right? You're going to put them third or fourth or whatever. Why? Because it's that's why love is so important, friend. That's why the Bible says that when we love God first, love the Lord thy God first. First love him. And when you first love him, when you love him first, find yourself just automatically being right and doing right and being led. Love, that's why God is trying to get us back to the love realm, because when you're loving, you don't have to stop and figure out, am I being led by the Lord? No, you're so caught up into loving him that you don't even spend time trying to figure out if you're doing the right thing or not. Because love blinds you. Love blinds you. Love opens up your eyes, to Jesus, and you love him and you start following him and you start going, wow, you don't even stop to think, oh, wait, am I in the will of God or not? Oh, well, I love Jesus, What's the first thing that Jesus told Peter when he denied him? What's the first thing he told him? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Jesus knew that if Peter would keep his eyes on loving Jesus, that living right, being led by the Spirit, and doing the right things, getting things right, instead of, having to force yourself to get things right, you want to keep things right between you and God. That's what love does. It makes you want to stay right with God. It makes you want to, you're willing to just, pay the price of humility to ask forgiveness for something just so you can stay right with him. Because you're more in love with Jesus than you are with your pride, right? You're more in love with Jesus than you're in love with your pride. So you'll humble yourself because you seek first to stay right with God because you love him. So our first love, return to our first love. Book of Revelation talks about that. Return to your first love. You lost your first. And when you lose your first, everything after that is messed up. It's what you have first that orders your life. When you put God first, when you seek his righteousness first, when you seek him first, his kingdom first, and how the kingdom, you need to find out, is the kingdom around you doing okay? What can I do to help? And what's that called? Being a servant. When you start serving and you start focusing in your gift, even if you just had natural talents that you help the body of Christ with, that's God. God gave those gifts to you, right? So when you offer them to the Lord and seek first the kingdom of God with those gifts, with those talents, with the time you have, and instead of just sitting back, waiting for gimme, 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 you want to have things added to you. How does he say do that? Seek him first. What's going on with the kingdom? How's my ministry? How's the ministry going on? How's the ministry that feeds me? How's the ministry that takes care of me? How's the ministry that cares about my soul and feeds me the word and ministers to me? How is it going? I got to make sure that the kingdom of God and that God has set up, the priesthood and what God's doing there, is taken care of, right? Not because we have to, because we know that we love Jesus, we love God, and God has set first apostles. God has set those ministries for us, for you. And because he's done that, friend, we need to make sure that the in that level of the kingdom of God that it's being taken care of with our prayers, with our time, with our compassion, with, you know, when somebody's, when one of the preachers are sick or one of your teachers, one of your, whoever is ministering to you are not feeling well, they're sick and they're having a hard time. Pray for them. Let them know you love them. Serve, serve. And when you serve, friends, it's not about them making you great. God's going to make you great. He's going to start adding to you. He's going to add favor to you. He's going to add the money that you need to do that business. He's going to add the people that you need. He will add it to you instead of you having to go out there and add it to yourself and work hard and sweat and really work, work, work. It's going to come to you easy. Why? Because when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things that you need are added to you. They're added to you. That means no sweat. The first realm. What do you got first? What's first? You know, sometimes I think I got God first and I realize that, you know, I'm worried a little bit about things. So every time I find myself worrying about stuff, being overwhelmed with things, I realize that I don't have God first. Right? It's not that God doesn't care about those things and I shouldn't care about them, but I should be giving them to God first instead of trying to work it out for myself first. Right? All right. Mark 9:35 says, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to him, anyone who wants to be first shall be last of all and servant of all. So if you want to be first, I want to be first. It sounds kind of selfish, doesn't it? I want to be first. No, I want to be first. And you little kids, you know, I want to be first. Well, that's what he said. If anyone wants to be first, anybody want to be first? Everybody wants to be first. The arguments that the disciples used to have, and Jesus would overhear them arguing over who's going to be first, who's going to be the best. Because you know what? It's built in you to be first, but it's how you get there. Nothing wrong with being first. That's what he says, sitting down with the disciples, Mark 9:35, Jesus called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, so, you know, he was hearing them argue about being first. He didn't say it's wrong for you to want to be first. In other words, you want to be the best? You want to be the greatest? He shall be last of all and servant of all. In other words, if you're first in line, you let somebody else be first in line, so to speak. If you can, let somebody else go before you, like you're in traffic. I mean, you want to save yourself some anxiety and stress and the conviction of the Holy Spirit from acting up? Just let the other guy go in front of you first. Let him go first. And that's how you start. When we do that, you know, I don't always do it. But if I'm in a really big hurry, I have to say I struggle with that one. But even then, sometimes I'll let somebody go first, right? Even then, sometimes I'll let somebody go first. So, and I always feel better, and it's like it starts a flow of people letting me be first. So if you let other people be first, you guys know this. You've done the same thing. You let somebody go in traffic first before you. You could have gone first easily, but you waved them going, honey, you can go first. And they go, thank you. You know, they go, thank you. You know, most people go, thank you. And, you know, you find out after that a little bit, it's like, you know, all of a sudden people start saying to you, hey, you want to go first? Go ahead. Friend, you want to be first? Be willing to be last. Be willing to serve. And then everybody's going to be trying to get you to be first. Oh, you can go first. Why? Because you and I, we serve and we put people first. We seek first the kingdom of God and making sure the kingdom's doing good. Making sure that's being, you know, in the Old Testament, when they talk about, you know, I forget what scripture it is exactly, but you'll know when I tell you about it. He said, you guys are all building your houses, you know, building your own houses and all that. And he says, well, the kingdom of God, but the house of the God is suffering. He says, that's not right. You know, put the kingdom of God first. Start seeking how to make sure the kingdom of God is taken care of. But when you do that, you know, you're going to find yourself, it's just going to be, people are going to say, hey, go first. You can be first. We'll let you be first. Yeah. We want you to go do it. We favor you. We favor you. We want you. Why? Because he wants us to be first. He said, if you want to be first, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be the last of all and servant of all. And it's a spiritual thing. When you plant that seed, when you give away first, first becomes yours. And you're not even seeking after it anymore. If you found, if you want to be first or the best, what is first? First is like first place. You know, everybody wants the gold. Nobody wants the bronze or the silver. I mean, we'll take it. But everybody wants to be first, right? Anybody go do it in a competition and not want to be first? Yeah, you want to be first. You want to be the best. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You want to be the best, you want to be first, then learn to be servant. Serve, learn to serve. Even at work when you're getting paid, maybe you're getting paid good money, maybe you're not getting paid that much money. And so you say, well, they're not going to pay me. I'm not going to give them, you know, I'm going to give them what they're paying me worth. Yeah, you know what, friend? That doesn't work. When you start serving and doing beyond your $10 an hour and you start doing a $15 an hour job instead of the $10 an hour job you're paying you, you know, and you're doing it unto the Lord, and not just in front of people, you're doing it unto the Lord, I guarantee you, he's gonna raise you up. He's going to bless you. Why? Because you have a servant's attitude, not a, if you don't give me this, I'm not going to do that. You give me $10, I'm going to give you $9.99 worth until you start paying me more. You know, instead of giving them $15 worth, give, having a servant's attitude in giving is doing it unto the Lord, knowing that the Lord is watching you, not people. We're not man-pleasers. You want to be first, serve, and do it unto God. Do it unto God. Seek the kingdom of God first. In other words, seek to please God first. He that lays up treasures, let him lay up treasures in heaven. In other words, do it unto the Lord. And when you do, God's going to immensely bless you. Make sure the kingdom of God is taken care of first. What it says. Yeah. And return to your first love. Wow. Return to your first love. That's what God's telling all of us. I'm not just telling you guys that. I'm telling that for all of us. All right, I'm looking up something here. Hang on a second. All right, let's look at this for a second. Revelation 2:4 said, nevertheless, I have this against you, and I hold the New International Version says, I hold this against you, that you have forsaken the love you had at first. Wow. The New Living Translation says, but I have this complaint against you, right? You don't love me or each other as you did at first. The English Standard Version says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Lord, help us. God, I'm talking to Randy Chandler and whoever's listening to me tonight. I don't care really how we think we have God first. Maybe we do in some way, some ways we don't. That God wants to be first of all in everything. And to become servant of all. What can I do to help the kingdom? And then God's going to make sure that he sends some extra angels to help you get your business going on. Get what you need going on. If you make sure his kingdom's going on, he's going to make sure that the kingdom he's giving you is going on. But we seek first the kingdom of God before we seek our own kingdom. To serve. You want to be first? You want to be the best business person? You want to be the wealthiest? Seek God first. First one to give. Be the one who gives the most, you know, the most, not so much the amount, but the measure. The biggest measure. You want to win first place in the biggest measure? Give the biggest measure. Measure of time, measure of money, measure of whatever it is. If you work 24 hours a day and you only got 1 hour of the day left and you give half of that hour to God, that's like, you know, more than anybody's 5 or 10 hours they give every day. When they have, you know, 15 hours a day to give and they're giving 10 hours, 8 hours to God, you're half an hour. All you got is 1 hour, and you give half that hour, oh, you're giving more than all the rest of them. It's the measure, friend. When we serve by measure, not by amount. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. How much is somebody else giving their time, how much time they giving, how much are they praying? You know, it's a measure thing. We don't compare ourselves among others. We see what they're doing to compare. They get $50, so I think I'll get a $60, you know. They gave, 2 hours of their time, so I'm going to give 2.5 hours of my time. We look at everything by measure. 30 minutes for you may be like 3 hours for somebody else. Right? Because it's the measure. Good measure, press down, shake together, running over. Well, men, give into your bosom. All right. Korean Study Bible says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love, abandoned it. King James Version says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Because you have left your first love. Wow. I'm just saying to us, all of us tonight, let's ask God to help us serve him and love him first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. That's putting God first. It doesn't say the word first. It says love the Lord thy God with all thy, all is first. When you win it all, that means you're in first place. When you give it all, when you're love the Lord thy God with all, you're in first place with that. That's when you know you're in first place. Not just some areas of your life, but every area of your life. Well, I give my time and my money first to God, but I don't give other areas to God. I want to give all my, everything I have, all my might, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. And then God blesses me, and it just comes in easy. It chases you down. Oh, God, may we chase you with love, loving you, and may you chase us in everything we're doing. May you chase us down. God, just make us be blessed. Force it on us. Add it to us. Hallelujah. Because we're seeking for, we've got our eyes on loving you first and loving your kingdom, serving you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The realm of first. That's what we're going to start seeing happen, and you're going to find, start finding this word coming up from God in many different ways for us. And it may not be using the word first, but just like I said earlier, you know, like first place is when you win it all, right? And so, you know, when you give your all, seek you first, the kingdom of God, and with love the Lord the God with all thy heart, all is, you know, you're putting it first when you have all, right? When you win it all, you're in first place. When you're, you know, you're first. When you win the race, you won all that race. You know, you're in first place. If you win every race, right, you're first in everything. Hallelujah. And so most people are first in athletics because they serve their sport by exercising, and they eat right, and they don't just exercise, but they do everything right. They eat right, they watch out their mental attitude, everything they do, how they stretch their muscles, how they train. You know, they don't just train physically, they train emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, of course. And when you learn how to train every area of your life, then you usually, most of the time, are the winner. Because just having physical strength is awesome. But when your mental attitude and you're running a race and somebody who has a lot of physical strength starts getting tired, if they got a weak mind, they start slowing down, not because their body, but because their mind becomes weak. When you've got a strong mind, your muscles may not be as big as theirs, but your mind can kick in things and cause you to win the race when other people will be losing it. Right, if your spirit is strong, other people may be strong in intellect and gifting, but friend, when you're strong and you're persistent and endurance, you will usually be the winner. Amen. So it's not just being, you don't win first by just having one part of your life, like your physical body in shape. When you want to run a race and win, you eat right, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You're keeping your health. You're making a strong mind, a strong will, you know, strong attitude, strong body. You know, eating healthy, making your every organ in your body strong. then you usually are going to win. Yeah, in the long haul, especially. All right, let's take callers tonight, see what's going on, and put God first. We're seeking God first, the kingdom of God first. God wants to put you first. When you humble yourself, he will exalt you. He will exalt you. And God's going to be exalting people in this season. Angela from Carolina, Angela Lanham, says, "Hi, Randy, I just got to share this with you. My car tag on my Jeep I ordered came today, and the tag was Matthew 6:33. Wow, awesome, girl. Confirmation, right? She said it just came in today, and here I am preaching on this tonight. That is so awesome. Great job. That is Matthew 6:33. It's one of the scriptures that I used was Matthew 6:33 tonight. So, yeah, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That is amazing, girl. Congratulations on that. That came in today, huh? And here I am preaching on this tonight. Wow. Yeah. We're going to enter into the realm of great and the realm of first. And how we do that is we serve to become great. I mean, servant of all. And we seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and he adds all those things to it, right? So becoming first, God's going to make people, we're moving to the season of first, and first as our first love. If we return to that, we're going to find our righteousness realm, which has to be first, right? It says seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. So righteousness has to be first, and the kingdom has to be first. So when we love God first, his righteousness just comes first. Right? Yeah. His kingdom comes first when we love him. And then guess what? He says, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to make sure you win. I'm going to make sure that you are the one who gets the race. I'm going to make sure you're the one who's first. Right? But we're not trying to be first as far as in our actions. We're trying to be last. We're trying to serve and seek first the kingdom of God, not seek first our kingdom and our blessings, right? But we seek make sure the kingdom of God is taken care of. And when we do that, then God makes sure that our kingdom is taken care of. He puts our kingdom first. When you put God's kingdom first, he will put your kingdom first. And believe me, you have a kingdom. You have a job, you have a life, you have a ministry, you have, you know, whatever you got going on, future family, whatever, you know. God wants to make you the head and not the tail. And I guarantee you that as we get back to the first realm, the realm of first, by the grace of God, we're going to find ourselves being raised up by God. And God's going to make us great, and he's going to put us first, right? Right. And we know how to do that now. We're going to talk about this more. I just kind of got this right before the show tonight as a prophetic word, as a prophetic thing that God is doing. It's not like I'm telling you and you better do it. You know, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what God is saying and what God is releasing, right, to help us put him first, to focus on putting God first, right, in his kingdom and loving him first. Because when you love first, you know, when you love your husband, you love your wife, you love your job, you love whatever, nothing wrong with loving things, right? When God gives them to you, you can love them. When God gives them to you, you can love them because you love them with the love of God. When you love with the love of God, you love your job. Why do you love it? Because God gave it to you. And you just keep loving him, and you keep loving him, you're going to keep loving your job. You quit loving God, and the job you used to love that you know God gave you, you're going to quit loving your job. Because it's going to become hard. You're going to be sweating all the time, straining all the time, worrying, anxiety all the time. Why? Because when love is first, when we love him first, it's easy. Everything's easy. No sweat. The coolest girl in town is you when you're putting God first. Because he just makes you, you know, you just put, you're not worried about you. You're not concerned about you. You know God's going to take care of you. If you take care of God, God is going to take care of you, friend. That's it, period. So you get your eyes off yourself, right? Knowing God wants to make you great, but how do you do that? You get your eyes off yourself, and you get your eyes on him, and he makes you great. As long as if you keep your eyes on him, it's easy to get your eyes off him when you become great. David did it. Remember David? David became great. Why? Because he was the best. He was the best warrior they had. It wasn't that he was best at telling everybody else how to do war. He was the best warrior they had. He was the first and baddest to the bone. Therefore, God raised him up. Right? And he became great. He became great. He had a heart after God, even after he messed up and everything. He became great. And then what did he do? He got his eyes off God. You know, quit going out, you know, to battle and the thing he loved to do. And he ends up falling in love with somebody else's wife. Cost him a lot. The sword never left his house because of that. Great, friend. He wants to make you great. That's what I'm telling you tonight. That's the word of the Lord. He wants to make you great. But it's going to come by making him great in your life, putting him first, loving him first. All right. I think we've pretty well done that, taking care of that little situation. And I hope I gave that word to you. I just got that, like I said, right before I came on. And a little confirmation there from my license tag tonight from Angela. Thank you, Angela. That is your license tag, right? I just got to share this with you, my car tag. You're talking about your license tag, right? On my Jeep. I ordered, came in today, it had Matthew 6:33 on it. All right, that is really, really cool. That's confirmation to me because it just came in today, not last week. Front tag, okay, the front tag. Well, yeah, you got to put it on the front, but at first, let it lead the way because the back tag has to have your license, has to have your number on it, yeah. Well, you could have got a license tag number M. Hey, you could have got a license tag number MATT633. MATT633, you know, that's short for Matthew 6:33. Anyway, I'm messing with you now. I'm starting to get, I'm getting carried up, caught up. All right, that is so awesome, girl. What a confirmation. Thank you, Jesus. That is so wonderful. Yes, that is. Okay. Yeah. All right, so she's got it on the front of her car. Amen. I like that. That's really cool. Let's take our callers tonight. We're going to do any talking tonight. We do a lot of talking on Mondays and Tuesdays, depending on who we get on and who we end up talking to the most. I never know. We just have fun and share and, you know, yeah. So, all right. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's take our callers. So tonight, as everybody knows, most people know, we do most of our talking on Monday and Tuesdays. We prophesy to people, but we also do a lot of talking, have a lot of fun. And then Wednesdays, we come on the show, and I don't talk to anyone specifically. I call your number and ask you what your first name is and what state you're from. Even if I know who you are, please tell me. And I mute you, and I'll prophesy or pray over you, pray and prophesy over you. And then I'll go to the next caller, do it again, ask you what your first name is and what state you're from. And then I'll mute you, pray over you, and prophesy over you, and then go to the next caller. And I go to caller after caller after caller. That way we get everybody in. It's really a blast. All right? All right. So my first caller tonight is 972. My second caller, 325. Third, 769. Fourth, 202. After that, 754. After that, 803-991. After that, 903-808. After that, 847-505. After that, 225-454. After that, 610-427. After that, 804-218. After that, 901-9995. After that, 612-805. After that, 951. After that, 402. After that, 252. And then the rest of you guys don't have your hand up. 478, you don't have your hand up. 111, you don't have your hand up. 585, you don't have your hand up. 213-863-808, you don't have your hand up. 972-365, you don't have your hand up. 831-596, you don't have your hand up. Just in case you don't know it. All right. So I know we will going to do that, so let's do it. All right. All right. Let's take our first caller tonight. 695, you want to talk to your phone, please?
695, you want to talk to your phone, please? Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, Terrence and Tanisha. All right, good to have you guys tonight. Thank you. You know, I see blockages being removed, God removing blockages. Things have been being blocked, blockages. That's the word I got, blockages. I saw instantly saw, you know, just like blockages, like big black boxes or blockages being removed, like things that are blocking the way or things that are blocking things. I guess would be the best way to say it. Blockages, you know, and they were black. They were like dark blockages. I don't know what that means exactly, but I guess blockages can be any color. I don't know if they're color coded or not, but blockages being removed. Yeah, blockages being removed, and of course I'm also thinking as I'm thinking about that, Terrence and Tanisha, I'm thinking about also the walls of Jericho coming down. And hang on a second. And this in the light of blockages being broken down, because there's a time to be silent. And I gave someone a word like this, I think, last week a little bit, and maybe what makes you think about it, is that there's a time to be silent. Like when they walked around the walls of Jericho, they were silent. Sometimes when Jesus as a lamb before the slaughter kept his mouth shut, you know, there's a time to keep our mouth shut, right? There's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to love, a time to hate. Believe that or not, there's a time to keep our mouth shut, and there's a time to open our mouth, right? And so I saw this season of silence or keeping your mouth, you know, shut or whatever, you know, like Christ did. And then, of course, when they walked around the wall a certain amount of times, then the walls came tumbling down. And when the walls came down, the one thing that I'm thinking about is the wealth that was involved in those walls. So this is a wealth wall, because when the walls of Jericho came down, that the offering from that, the wealth in that place obviously was tremendous, but God was, oh wow, just think about the message tonight. I just thought about this. This was her first battle, and God said the first battle was the first fruit belonged to God. In other words, the whole thing, everything in that battle belonged to God. God said, tell the children of Israel, Joshua, tell them, nobody takes anything from this. It all belongs to the priesthood. It all belongs to the kingdom. And if they would put that first, God would win their battles for them. If they didn't put it first, then the battles would be lost. So what happened? We had one person, one family member, one guy, whatever, that took a Babylonian garment and some other stuff, and just one person. And, so after the walls came down, that the wealth, this is a wealth wall. Wow. A wealth wall. And the walls of Jericho, that was the first fruits for the kingdom of God. Wow. But she keep first the kingdom of God. God is my witness. This is coming together like this is amazing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's like that, so this wealth wall, because you guys have been putting, you know, God first and learning how to put God first, because we put God first, and when we first, the things that we get, that we kind of traditionally know to put God first, we do that, and then little by little, God teaches us how to put everything first, right? Our thoughts, seek first the kingdom of God, love the Lord the God with all thy might, thy strength, thy, you know, your heart, your body, your soul, everything, right? Your strength, it even says. And so that's not just, you know, our money or our time, but it's everything, your emotions, your strength, your body, your mind, and putting that and seeking, loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. You know, it's not just one area, it's several areas. And so as God has been teaching you guys how to put God first, that God's going to put you first. And sometimes being first, you become last. So being last means that we seemingly lose. That's, isn't that what it says? Let me reread this. I'm kind of getting off on this. So you're, give me a little time. I haven't learned from this. This is really cool. Is that what that says? Let me go back here and see this. This is awesome. Yes. Oh, my God. Look at this, Tanisha and Terrence. Sitting down, it's Mark 9:35. He called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, which they wanted to be first, shall be, and he was trying to teach them how to be first. Right? He wasn't saying, you want to be first, you sinners, you bad, carnal Christians. No, he said, if you want to be first, but if he did, if you tell them they were supposed to be first, he'd tell them, you're not supposed to be first. No, he said, if anyone wants to be first, everybody wants to win. It's in our nature to want to win. Even Christ wanted to win, but he had to be last. Anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all. Whoa, and servant of all. Wow. Whoa. So when you put, when you're putting God first, you shall be last. So in other words, we go through the season like Joseph did. Joseph was last, or he was losing in many ways. You know, he was always being put first because he ran everything, because he always put God first. But in his overall, the will of God and the purpose of God, it seemed like that was going backwards. And so he was seemingly coming out last. His brothers were home with the family and doing their stuff. They were free, and here he was ensnared in Egypt. And seemingly, if his brothers knew he was in prison, they probably would have laughed. And, yeah, that's where you belong, you little twit. What's a twit? I don't know what a twit is, but yeah, I'm sure it's not good. But that's what they would have thought about him. Oh, you know, and they would have mocked him and, You're last, you know, look at you, you're in prison, we're over here, we got dad, we got freedom, and here you are locked up. Yeah, we knew you didn't deserve it. We knew you, we threw you away because we knew. So sometimes, you know, in order to be first, we have to go through a season of being last, if you will, seemingly losing, seemingly, you know, Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, or if you hate your life for my sake, or if you lose your life, lose your life for my sake, you shall gain life. So there's that season of losing or coming in last. Finally, God says, I'm going to put you first, right? Because we decided we're going to, you know, let God take care of us. We're going to let God fix our reputation. We're going to let God make our reputation. We're going to let God do that. And so in that process, you become last for a while. That's what it looks like. Jesus, same way. It's like he lost the battle. All his disciples got up and left him in it. Or left, they were hiding because he lost in their eyes for 3 days at least. But then, you know, 3 days later, he rose up. So that whole season of being last. So what we have here, there's a lot of information right there packed in, a lot of mystery revelation there. You know, the walls of Jericho, the wealth realm of Jericho, so that was in that. And, yeah, so I'm not even sure what all that means. That's a little bit of a heavy. That's heavy for me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless them, God. Raise them up, God, in your time. Or he who humbled himself, I will exalt in due season. Joseph was raised up in due season. When he was raised up, everybody served him. His brothers came and bowed down and served him. Egypt served him. And yet he served the world by feeding them and saving them. He saved the world, Terrence and Tanisha. Because he went through that time of being last, and then Pharaoh put him first. And when he put him first, he served the whole globe and saved the whole globe. Because he was in position with the wisdom and the wealth and the food to save the globe. So he was still serving, but he was serving at a first level instead of like in the prison, he was serving because he was a prisoner. That's kind of low. Servanthood, right? Humble yourself. God was humbling him. And now he said, in due season, I'll exalt him. So he exalted him. And though he was still serving, they came to buy grain. Who did they buy from? Joseph could have got somebody else to sell him the grain. He wanted to sell. He was taking care of the grain management. He was managing the whole thing. He didn't sit back and let everybody else run it. He was running the thing. Yeah, he was serving the whole earth, saving them. First. Wow, that is really cool. So I hope I got that over clear enough. It went a lot of places, but All right, let's go here to 325-280. Who am I talking to, from, please?
This is Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, good day, Chris. Thank you, Lord, for that anointing, God. The anointing and the appointing that God, you know, I see you pointing toward things. I see, you know, like I've been in meetings. We talk about pointing. I've been in meetings. I remember meetings. I think Jeannie said she was in one of those meetings where, and I think it only happened like once or twice, where I, you know, just my arm just kind of went up, you know. I mean, I let it go up, but it kind of went up, and I pointed to this man and said, sir, he was sitting about halfway back in the meeting. I was in a meeting in a building, and, you know, places packed out, people there. It's like, so I called this guy. He came out. He was about, you know, 45, 50 years old, something like that. And then I looked around. I said, I usually minister to one person at a time most of the time, unless the whole family comes up. And so I ministered, called him up all by himself. And then the Lord said, wait, so my hand raised up over to the other side of the whole church, whole ministry place, and I pointed to this, like, two or three young people. I said, y'all come up here too. Didn't even know why I did it. Didn't even know why I did it. I'm like, who are these people? So I start prophesying to them, right? Not having a clue who they are. I didn't have a clue who they were. Never seen them in my life. And I'm prophesying to them, and I stopped and I said, there's something familiar about this word that I'm giving all of you. I said, can you tell me what that is? And the one guy, he was just like freaking out. He looked at me and he looked around. And he said, because we're all, that's our dad and we're his children. And I picked out the father without even knowing who he was, or the Lord did through me, because my hand went up and I pointed to him, you know. And then then after he stood up there for a minute, I couldn't figure out why. The Lord said, I want you to point to those people right there. And I pointed to them. I said, y'all three, y'all come up here. And that just happened to be his three children that were there in the meeting, sitting in completely different places. I've never seen him before in my life. There was an appointment being made, and I was literally pointing with my finger. And so what I saw you doing, Chris, was pointing. I don't even know what that means exactly, but appointments and pointing. Like with them, it's like God had an appointment with them, and I'm pointing at them with my finger and calling them up, not even having a clue what I'm doing. I wish I could say I was smart enough to know that was the Father and these are the three, and I knew that what I was doing, even though I'd never seen him before. I wish I could say I knew, and I said, oh, yeah, I would have said, you're the Father and you're the three children, right? Do I ever know y'all? Have I ever met y'all before? No. Do anybody here? No, nobody. So that's pretty supernatural, right? I knew you're the Father, I knew the children, and y'all were sitting in completely different places. They would have, well, man, that's amazing. But that's not what happened. I didn't have a clue who they were. I didn't. And when I stopped and I said, something familiar about this word. And look at the oldest kid, the other guy, kind of a darker guy. And he said, yeah, this is my father, and these are my two brothers and sisters. We're all family. I went, and everybody just kind of like, you know, that knew I didn't know, went gasped for air, like, oh, my God. So immediately when I heard your voice, bro, I heard this word about appointments, like God making appointments. And you pointing, like I was pointing. I didn't know what I was pointing at. I knew I was pointing at a person, but I didn't know why. And then I pointed at those three young people and said, come up here. You know, I wasn't in the meeting when everybody showed up. I go back in the back and I pray. I don't watch people walk in on purpose. They come in there, they sit down, and then when the building's ready and the time's ready and the worship team's about ready to go, they come and get me and they say, do you want to come out now or later? I said, I'll come out now. So I come out. And I get in the front row, and I'm not watching people, looking at people. I don't see how people walk in. I didn't know anything. God is my witness. You know, and so this whole thing about appointment, that God had an appointment with those people, and, man, he prophesied over them, read their mail. It was, to me, it was shocking and amazing that the whole thing happened. And it's like, my God, what happened? Because there was an appointment. And here's the thing I'm saying to you, bro, that you're going to find yourself, you know, I don't know, literally pointing at stuff, pointing at people, pointing at houses, pointing at property, pointing at land, pointing your finger at it, the finger of God at it, and say, you know, you belong to God, not you belong to me only, you know, like Chris, that Chris saying you belong to me, Chris, but to point at that land and say you belong to God, and you're gonna, you know, it's like an appointment, like God has appointed things, has appointed property, has appointed land, has appointed people, has appointed things that belong to him, bro. And we're starting out really deep tonight, y'all. This is crazy. It's like, I see you pointing at things. The Bible talks about the finger of God. You may look up scripture about the finger of God. And Jesus pointed at people, and the finger of God point the finger of God. And that night, I'm pointing the finger of God. I don't even know what I'm doing. I didn't know their names. I don't know where they were, but they caught up there. Just the whole thing happened, all because I pointed out to them with my finger, as God just kind of took over my hand, literally kind of like, I let him do it, and, you know, I let it happen, but it's like my hand went up, and my finger pointed, and I'm finding myself looking at that guy, and he's looking at me like, I said, come on up here, and I sat there for a minute trying to figure out why I couldn't give him more, and the Lord said, so my hand went up again, the other side of the church, the other side of the building, and I pointed those three little people over there coming, and this all happened because my hand was being manipulated by the Holy Spirit, right, because I've given my hands to him, right, you've given your hands to me. I want everything in my hands to prosper, God. Prosper for what? For the will of God. And when God trusts us with his kingdom, that kingdom usually belongs to us most of the time, not always. But it usually belongs to us. It has our name on it from God. To Chris from God. It's not to Chris from Chris. It's not from God to God. And Chris, here, can you take care of it for me? It says from God to Chris. It's like a gift. When God puts it, when Christmas time, you don't put a thing on there. This is my gift, and I'm going to let you just use it. And don't forget who it belonged to. Your daddy gave it to you. No, you don't do that. You put their name on it. From daddy to my baby doll from your daddy. You know, and it's theirs, man. They unwrap that gift. It's their gift. And that's what God does. We never forget. They'll never forget, especially if you give them something. I remember the first time I got a bicycle. I never forgot about who gave me that bicycle. Are you kidding me? My mom and daddy gave me that bicycle. I knew I wanted the bicycle. I wanted a bicycle so bad I got a bicycle. You think I ever forgot who gave that to me? Every time I rode it, I thought about, you know, who gave it to me. Yeah, my mom and dad gave it to me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? So people have this really high, righteous thing about God giving us things. Like, don't forget, it always belongs to God. No, it doesn't. God's not an Indian giver. He gives it to you, and it's yours. The beautiful thing is when he asks for it back, you know, we can do it or not do it. We don't have to do it. Just like Abraham gave back Isaac. He didn't have to do it. God asked him if he would. He'd get up, and he said, tell him, go do it. But he could have said, no, I'm not going to do that. That's my son. You gave that son to me, he's my son. You know what? But Abraham remembered who gave him that son. He knows if he gave it to him, he's going to take care of it. So God's going to identify you with the gifts that God, he's going to write your name on them. Whose name gets on the contract on some property? You don't put in there God. No, I put in there Chris from Texas. 325-280. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what's happening tonight, but the finger of God pointing property, people, things, calling people out saved, calling people out delivered, calling people out healed, calling land healed. God says it's not just, I'm not just trying to heal my people and deliver my people and cleanse my people. I'm trying to cleanse the land. Never forget the land. The land groans in travail, waiting for somebody to deliver it by the finger of God. And that's him working through your fingers. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So whatever that means, we are going all over the place tonight. Hallelujah. All right, thank you, Lord, for Chris. Bless him, increase him, multiply him in Jesus' name. All right, 769-220. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
It's Andrika in Georgia.
Hey, Andrika. Andrika, I have to say, I thought about you tonight when I said, you're not the head. I mean, you're the head and not the tail. I don't know what's going on with you about this, whether it's something God's just trying to awaken in you at a higher level. I don't know if he's just pointing his finger at that, saying, do you got that yet? I mean, I know you're getting it, but it's one thing, you know, to order something and know it's on the way and they're confirming it's on the way and they're sending you text saying, yeah, it's running late, but it's on the way. And sometimes they'll even tell you where it's at. It just left San Antonio and it's on its way to Houston. It'll leave Houston and go to, your neck of the woods. And when it comes to your house, it lets, you know, there's some tracking device that'll tell you where exactly where they were going. It's kind of like, you know, I know you know it's coming,
right? That's coming. And you're getting these little messages along the way. So, yeah, it left Austin. It's on its way to Houston. And when it gets to Houston, it's going to come to Georgia. And then it's going to come to Georgia, it's going to come to your house. So it's one thing to know it's on the way and know that you've ordered it and know that it's yours. It's a whole other thing for it to get into your hand. You're going like, and unwrap that package and go, oh, my God, look at this. Looky here, what I got. Yeah, I got it, man. You take it apart, you open it up, you look at it, you go, oh, my God, I got it. I got it. Here it is. Now I can work it. See, we order things in the heavenly realm. We order things from God. And if we know how to order things and we know how to get things, how to receive things from God, then we know it's in process, right? Sometimes, you know, like when Daniel prayed, you know, it took 21 days, but, you know, but when the angel finally came, when the delivery boy shows up, Gabriel, the delivery boy shows up, delivery man, whatever he was, a delivery angel shows up, you know, he's going like, man, you know, I mean, we had confirmation that God heard your prayer, but we had some traffic issues, you know, delivery issues on the way down. So he heard you the first day, but it's like there was angelic hindrances and trouble on the way, but it finally got there. So it's like God, you know, like you can know that something's on your way and that it's yours. You ordered it, you know, so to speak, it's yours. Christ has paid for it. He's given you the faith, the currency to pay for it. And it's a whole other thing for it to actually end up in your hand, right? Where now, once you get something in your hand, I mean, you can learn about it. You can read about this thing, this device, or whatever. But until you get it in your hands, you actually get that new phone or that new computer in your hands that you've never had before, never worked before. Then you have to start working how to work it, how it works, how it functions. And the more time you seek finding how it works, the bigger your understanding is on how things work. And God is doing this with you, saying that you're the head and not the tail. And this whole thing tonight, like, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and make sure the kingdom of God is, you know, have a heart for the kingdom of God. What's going on in the kingdom of God? If we're taking care of the kingdom of God, God's going to take care of our kingdom. And when I said that tonight, I don't know if you were on tonight or not, I thought about you, hoping that you were, and that I thought, I hope Andrika heard that. You know, I could have been saying it for a whole lot of people, but you were one of the people that kind of went, you know, yeah, head not the tail. I hope Andrika heard that, and I hope she's listening tonight. I hope it's going on, because God's saying that, like, it's left Garland from heaven, from the heavenly delivery boys. And the delivery boy in Garland is saying, "Hey, it's on the way, you know, it's going to be there." And when you get it in your hand, and then you start working it, girl. You have an ability to work it. You have a gift to work it. You have the, you know, how to be the head, how to work the head. And God's going to do it, man. God's going to do it. And he's just like when the package leaves the main shipping place, wherever it is. And it comes from one town to another. It starts telling you what town it's in, what's going on, and if there's any issues, what's going on with it. And so this is what I'm hearing God say, man. That's what I'm hearing God say. Hallelujah. You're the head and not the tail. God's really burning that in you. He's really ministering that to you. He's planting that in you deep. And it's coming forth. It's coming forth in Jesus' name. It's going to bear forth much grain. Hallelujah. The grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die. And I think the way you talked the other night, you know, when I talked about the Elijah thing, that you've gone through a death process with this. And so I thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name, for the coming forth of the new grain. You plant one grain of wheat, and it dies. It falls apart, basically, and what's inside of it comes forth with a whole new body, with a whole new, you know, it comes forth. No, it doesn't look like a seed. It looks like a green land, it looks like a green plant coming forth, and a green plant turns into a wheat with a head on it, with 100 grains in it, and takes on a whole different look. So I thank you, Jesus, for Andrika taking on a whole different look, a whole new image, a whole new thing going on, God, on the inside of her and on the outside, a whole new image in Jesus' name. It's planted as in one image. It comes forth in a whole other image. Amen. Planted as a seed that comes forth as a plant, as a green plant growing up, stem, and that stem grows ahead, and that head gets those grains that fills up with grain, and then you harvest that grain. Amen. Yeah, it takes on a whole different nature, a whole different look. Yeah, I'm not sure what all that means exactly, but you might pray about that. The Bible says to Paul the Apostle, told Timothy to meditate on the word, just like he told Joshua to meditate on the commandments, right, day and night. And when he did it, it would unfold inside of him on what that means. But I see things taking on a whole new nature, whole new look, whole new visage, all that. And it's going to be, so God's trying to help you understand that, right, and bless you with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, oops, sorry about that. All right, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen, thank you. I guess God wanted me to hear you say thank you, Jesus. Because things are about to take on a whole new look, a whole new thing. I don't know what that means exactly, whether it's a look inside of you, the way you look at it, or if it's literally going to look completely different. I'm not sure. But whatever it is, it's multiplied, and the grain is going from one grain to, if you will, 100 grains. I don't know if that means 100-fold. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but something like that. All right, 202-722. I'm glad I turned Andrika back on. Accidentally, I did accidentally. I have to go to 202. And I heard Andrika saying, thank you, Jesus. Something was going on. All right, 202-722, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. You're on with two of us, Daryl Paul from Silver Spring and Nicole from D.C.
Yeah, Silver Springs in D.C. All right. All right, thank you very much. Got the two becoming one or the one becoming two? Which one is it? Either way, it's good, right? Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul, God. We thank you for Daryl Paul, God. We thank you for the angelic ministry, the angelic part of the angel that watches over him and watched over him all of his life. You know, if you look in the Bible, if you believe in the Bible, Daryl Paul, I believe you do, that when you see that the Bible, Jesus said that you have at least one angel and maybe more. Some people think we have two or three. I really don't know for sure exactly, but the scripture does seem to say that we have at least one. We know. So your angel has been watching over you, my friend. And because he's been watching over you, he only watches over you for the will and purpose of God. He doesn't have any other plan for you. He knows God's will for your life and God's purpose for your life. And he works in your behalf, even though you can't. Angels are not made to be seen or really even made to be talked about too much. They don't like, God doesn't want them to have a lot of attention, and they don't really want a lot of attention. It's against their nature. They're not shy. They just know that there's something about it that when we talk too much about them, you know, too much about nothing, talking a little bit about them and letting people know that they're out there, but they don't like it too much attention. For some reason, it hinders them. For some reason, it messes them up. They like the secrecy. They like the secret place. They like privacy. So we're going to talk about them a little bit, but not too much tonight. But there's an angel, your angel. Looks like you. They say their angels look like us. I've never seen my angel. He probably looks just like me. I don't know if it's according to what they say. But watching over you, and he only watches over you, watching over you that you walk into the purposes of God. That's what he's there for. He's only there for one reason only, to protect you, to watch over you for one purpose, and that is that you walk in the perfect will of God. Amen. Not everybody makes it. Their angels are there to do it, but sometimes we don't, you know how to. We got to get into the Word of God and learn to love Jesus and learn to love God and learn to love each other. And when we do that, our angels, it's a lot easier for our angels to get us where God wants us to get us. Not only the Holy Spirit working and the Father working and Jesus working, but the angel that is sent to you personally is there for one reason and one reason only, Daryl, Paul, and that is to get you into to make sure that along with the Holy Spirit, you're led and guided into the will of the Father. And so obviously being around Nicole is the will of the Father for you. That's obvious. And so the hand of God is on you. The angel of God is your angel, God's angel that's been with you since you were brought into the earth, when you were con- conceived in your mother's womb, I guess he was right there watching over you even then. And then when you popped out, and there you are, beautiful little you, you know, your mama just going, oh, my baby, you know, all that. That angel was right there with you for one purpose, and that is to make sure that you are successful, not just in the world or anything, but in the will of God. And when you're in the walk, when you're successful in the will of God, things will come to you. You don't have to even go after them. That's what the Bible says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's literally what happened. And so, Lord, I thank you for adding his life, adding to his life, God. I thank you for adding Nicole to his life, God. I thank you, Lord, for blessing him and him finding favor with her and her finding favor with him. God, I thank you for the favor realm, the favor place, the place of favor that you've given Nicole for him and him for her, that they favor each other. And when you find people that, by God's grace, favor each other, that means that the God's favor is on you together in a dual fashion for that favor to saying, God saying, I favor you two together. Right? That's why you favor each other, because God favors you being together, so you favor each other. That makes sense? And so so God is unwrapping this gift. And as it gets unwrapped and unraveled and unwrapped, and it has to be unwrapped, you know, you begin to find out, you know, what God has given you and how to treat what God has given you, how to, you know, how to be with the person, the gift, the favor that God, when God gives you favor, what did it say? My pastor said this. He said, when I got married, he said, when God gives a man favor, what does he say? What is that? Some of you women know what he says. Gives you a woman, he's giving you favor. When he gives you favor, he's giving you a woman. What is that? Somebody help me out with that one. Oh, Andrika says, so I heard it. Yeah. I've been on the entire time. Okay, good. Soaking it all up. Okay, praise the Lord. Ah, man. Sorry, there's so much stuff that goes on during the show, y'all. It's really cool. Yeah. So when a man finds a woman, he finds what? I can't believe I can't think of that. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna have to look it up, but nobody's helping me. I don't know if we're going to find this or not. Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, there it is. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. No help from any of you guys. Proverbs 18:22 says, when a man finds a wife, he finds something good. It shows that the Lord is pleased with him. Oh, my God. Y'all, I can't even believe this. I can't, and it has 22 in it, which is the year 22. I remember my pastor quoted that over me. He's when a man finds, but see, I didn't even know it said that. I mean, I'm just reading what it, yeah, I mean, that is amazing. That's amazing, y'all, and you know, Nicole knows me that when I say, you know, I don't play with this stuff. I mean, this is like, I'm like a little child in a little kid in a candy store, and I find it, you can tell that it's just brand new, fresh to me. Y'all see that? Because you favored, what it started out with when you favored each other, it's because God had put his favor in you to be together. And then I started thinking about that scripture. I'm going, that's amazing. Okay, Rhonda's I finally got some help from Rhonda. Thank you, Rhonda. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain, oh my God, and it literally says that, and obtain favor of the Lord. Oh my God. Y'all. Woo, we tapped into something tonight. I'm not sure where this is going to go, but I hope I make it through the night, literally. And then it happens to be 18:22, Proverbs of all things. Oh my gosh. Y'all, I'm flipping out. Can I flip out? Yeah, I can flip out if I want to. I sure. I love this stuff, man. Finds favor at the my gosh. And look at what it says. Look at the scripture that it says. Oh, y'all have to forgive me because when I get something, I have to work it, man. I have to, like, because this is for me. I'm eating this up too. But it says I don't know what version this is, but it's look it up on Bible.com, Proverbs 18:20. That's what it's under. I've never seen this one before. Proverbs 18:22, the New Century. Okay, the New Century version, NCV. There it is, right there. When a man finds a wife, he finds something good. It shows that the Lord is pleased with him. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh my God! Y'all better be holding hands or something over there. I don't know what's going on exactly, but don't mess with me. Don't mess with Texas. I get happy because it's, the word Lord just makes me happy. I love this stuff. It's like drinking fresh Holy Ghost wine, right? The new century version. I didn't know there was a New Century version. God is so appointed this night tonight, man, that the word that came out of my mouth, I did not have a clue. The new century version would just basically confirm it almost word for word, basically. That is mind-boggling. Okay, I'm trying to move on. It's difficult to move on when you're having fun. Woo! It's like tapping into a spout where the glory's coming out. The word of the Lord for his people, because I'm here serving. I'm the spout, and the glory's coming out through me. I'm just the old spout, you know. I'm just a vessel. But, man, when it starts coming through, you get loaded on it, too. I get blessed by it, too. Woo! Hallelujah! My God. Okay, y'all, I'm trying to move on here. I don't know, Nicole, if I've got anything for you or not. Not me, but you know the Lord. But, that is amazing. That should just bless your socks off, girl. She's laughing. She's going, hee, 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 hee. That's all you got is a hee, 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 hee. Oh, and it's all he, 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 he. What is that a sign of? He, he, he. You know, like he and she. Why couldn't it be she, 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 she? I'm getting loaded, y'all. I can tell because I started acting crazy. All right, I'm not going to try to stay sober, but this is loading me up. He, he. That's literally what she sends me is he, he. Laugh out loud, praise God. I know what he, he, he means. It just came. Wow, that is awesome. What a thing. So I think that's for both of y'all right there. You can't get any better than that. You can't get any better than that. And then 1822, the year 22, so 1822. So I don't know what 18 means exactly, but cool. All right, Nicole, thank you. You guys, Daryl, Paul. Nice to meet you tonight. I think we met tonight. I'm not sure. I mean, we prayed for you several times, but I think for the first time we met tonight, as far as in the spirit or something. I'm not sure how you could do that, but by internet radio. But hallelujah! He, 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 he. I love it. Yeah, because he is blessing thee for sure, and y'all are blessed. Y'all are favored. Amen. You found favor, man. You favored each other. That was an amazing word. I have to give God all the glory, of course. Who could come up with stuff like that? Only him. He could come up with that. Yeah, all right. We just have fun with everything, right? Might as well. Why not? It's party time. All right, Nicole and Daryl Paul, thank you, guys. We love you so much, and thank you for your love, God, your love for each other, and your favor for each other. Wow. That is awesome. He favors me. She favors me. And isn't it nice to be favored? And that's what God does. He gives us favor for somebody, and when we favor them with his favor, you know, if it's a mutual thing, when it is a mutual thing, it's amazing because that favor connects and kisses. Favor kisses and communes when it's done on both. If the favor is just on one side, sometimes the favor is just on one side. I'm not talking about relationships. I'm just talking about sometimes God will have us favor somebody, and they don't even know what's going on. They're not favoring us back yet, but, you know, through a business deal, through friendship, or through, you know, connections, through PGN connections. We have a lot of PGN connections. We minister to a lot of people in a lot of different ways. So, we minister favor, and then sometimes once that favor starts coming back, as far as they start favoring us, in other words, they favor the Lord through, you know, through the ministry or whatever, that favor connects, it becomes a place of God blessing. And the kiss is the communication of the mouth for love and communication. When the Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he, whatever it is, says, but kiss the Son. So when we kiss the Son of God, and it's just something about that's with your mouth. And when people favor each other with their mouth, from their heart. And the words of love and the words, the kiss words, there's words that are called kiss words. Sometimes words kiss you. Sometimes they, hit you. Words can hit you. They can kiss you. Right? Yeah. When Judas kissed Jesus, it was a betrayal kiss. But then there's a kiss of love that, through words and information, that love, like the love fest, speaking words of love over God's people, drawing them into the love place of God, right? We can't do it on our own. The only way I love God is because God loved me first. That's it. I couldn't love him until he loved me first, y'all. When he loved me first, then I could love others and love him and love myself. That was amazing. Only he could do that. So, bless it. All right, there you go. All right, 754-24, who am I talking to you from, please? 754-240. All right, you guys got jumped up. There you are down there at the bottom again. Are you there? 754-240. I'm not sure what's going on there with that. But. All right, 754-240, are you there? Hello? 754. All right, we know who that is. That's Donald and Tanya. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Yeah, I was thinking about you today, Donald, when I was just meditating on the Lord. And I'm looking at a building. I'm looking at a building right now that I think I'm favoring it. I don't know. Everybody will find out when I spy out the land, and when I spy the land out, I find something that I think is worthy of just talking to people about seriously. Then I do that, take the next step. So I'm getting close to that. I think I'm getting close to that on this building. And so I was at the building today, and I'm looking at it, walking through it. I'm not even going to tell anybody where it's at or anything. I keep it private for now. So when I was thinking about that word. Where I don't even know if you realize you were saying it. Maybe you did. Maybe you did. I don't know. Like, I always say things I don't realize I'm saying. And so what happened with that was, I remember that you said something about contentment. That contentment, and I got this, man, from the Lord, like when you said that, that contentment is knowing that God is your source. And when you know God is your source, bro, I mean, that just hit me again today. I'm walking through the building, right? And in the area, and I'm walking through, and I'm looking at stuff, and I'm thinking contentment means that when you have a spirit of contentment about you, it's because you know God is your source, or you're learning it, and it's developing inside you. So it breeds contentment. In other words, I can do with or without. I can have or not have, and I don't worry about not having. And if I have a lot, I don't abuse it or whatever, because, you know, I know if I give it all away, God's going to bless me more if he wants me to have more. So it's like, it doesn't really matter. I'm content. Not satisfied, but content. Dude, that hit me hard today. So I think God's really doing that with you. The contentment thing, that thing with you and Tanya going through that and your family. Because your obedience to the Lord, bro, it affects the DNA of your children, believe it or not. just like when Joshua, when they took the tithe and offering, the offering that belonged to God out of Jericho, and they hid it, you know, and then he found out who it was, and they killed him and his whole family because that the sin of the father passes down to the children even before they're born of your seed. You know, in other words, your DNA connects you in ways that you're not connected any other way. Your DNA connects you to your children all your life. It's a connection nobody else has with your children. It's a connection nobody has with you, except for that, and your wife, and the family. The family as a whole, the man, the woman, the father, the mother, and the children. We're all connected by DNA. And there's a communication. So when we sin, that affects our children's DNA. When we bless and walk in blessing, which you are, that brings blessing to your children. You know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were blessed, but they also passed that blessing down. But it was already there in a sense, but each father would have to say, okay, Isaac, Abraham's blessing Isaac. Yeah, Isaac, you're blessed. You're going to have this and land and property, and he blessed him with everything. He didn't just say, you're going to be spiritually endowed with love for God, and that was it. No, he said, you're going to have land, property, you're going to prosper, you're going to be blessed. The nations are going to serve you, blah, 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 whatever he said, on and on. It wasn't just about spiritual things. It was about everything. And God's really showing you guys that God's blessing is not just about spiritual love for Jesus. That's going to be first. But when that happens, he adds everything else to you. And it's part of his nature. It's part of who he is. It's part of what he does and who he is as a person. And so to say that, oh, I don't really want the things, if we're seeking God and his kingdom first, those things are going to be added by God because God is trying to establish his kingdom in the earth in many different ways. And so when he finds somebody who blesses him, it gets passed down to their children. The DNA realm gets passed down, that whole thing. And it makes it easier for your children to get blessed. It makes it easier for your family to walk in God's blessing. Like when Abraham walked in blessings, it made it easier for Isaac to eventually walk. When Isaac walked in blessing, it made it easier for Jacob to walk because it was DNA. So your DNA, affects your children, even though they're not the seed in your body, and then you later plant the seed in your wife, and they develop it. You're eternally connected with DNA always, even after they're born, and your blessings don't start until after you get do things for God. It still gets passed around and connects. Amen. So God's really going to show you that. Amen. All right. So open that up for him, God, and let him see that the blessings of God are not just spiritual, but they're everything. It's just the way that we go after them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless him. All right. 803-991. Who am I talking to you from?
Randy's Angela, South Carolina.
Man, so you got your license tags in today, huh? And had, did you ordered that?
Yeah, you can go online and order a car tag for like a design for your car. If you want a mountain, if you want a football thing, or whatever. But I did Matthew 6:33, what I ordered, and it came today. And I got home, it was in my mailbox. And I opened it up Matthew 6:33.
That's so amazing, yeah. And that happened to be the word of the word of the Lord tonight for first. Wow, that's awesome.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign for you. So. All right, I'm going to let you go. We're not going to be talking tonight. Thank you. Thanks for taking a minute there to talk. We don't do much talking on Wednesdays, but I had to kind of grab a hold of that because that is confirmation even for me, you know, because I got that word. You know what? I might have gotten that word about the time you got your mail. I don't know. I got that word maybe, I don't know, an hour before the show. I don't know exactly what time it was. I think I was driving back from looking at that land. And I was on the road, and I think it was then. So it was probably an hour before the show, something like that, 8 o'clock, I don't know, 7:30, 8, somewhere in there. Yeah, and that's when it started to get downloaded. And little by little, I got to where I sit down and got ready to do the show, and I started trying to find some scriptures. You know, I got to have some scriptures. God, I'm going to give a word, right? I don't have to have scripture, but it's really nice to have some. And so I looked them up, and there they were, and that was one of them. Matthew 6:33. Wow. All all right, Lord, so let that confirmation, you've already been ministered to, girl. I mean, I literally got that word like an hour and a half before the show. Found Matthew 6:33, literally looked it up, you know, like right before the show. And I was almost running late getting on the show, so I was trying to find those scriptures. So that's right there is your word. I think that's your word. And in fact, you put it on the, you know, on the front of your vehicle, has to do with the realm of vehicles. And of Matthew 6:33 has to do with the realm of God blessing you with vehicles and the vehicle realm and blessing you with favor, blessing you with, you know, wisdom, you know, and that whole thing. Yeah. Wow. The whole thing about vehicles. But you got to think about this. You know, I'm getting this word. I don't know when you get your mail. You probably, your mail might have come. I don't, maybe when you got your mail. I'm not sure. I don't know what time you get your mail, when you got your mail exactly. You know, and it doesn't have to be perfect, of course, you know, to work. But it's just interesting to find out how it all works. But, yeah, literally an hour, hour and a half. And so that just kind of says that whether you were picking up your mail, getting your mail at the time or not, I don't know, 2 hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours before 7:30, 8, something like that. But the confirmation is that God is saying, hey, you know, this is what's happening for you, and I'm trying to water your seed. I'm trying to water you. I'm trying to fertilize you, fertilize it so it can grow strong and big in your heart. Know that God has this season for you and a blessing for you, Matthew 6:33, right? Yeah, so let that kind of sink in as you, I know you are, and meditate on that. And the confirmation of that and the timing of that is mind-boggling. That was like just for you almost, you know, like, wow, what an amazing word. Sometimes God will stop everything for one person. Just stop everything for one person. Yeah, it's amazing how he does that. But I know the word is for the body of Christ, but the way he did that and developed that word is amazing. Yeah, so really meditate on that, chew on that. And, yeah, all right. Okay, so 903-808, you want to talk to Ruth Crump, please?
Hey, this is Jeannie from Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. Jeannie is also one of our hosts that does every Monday night. When she can, her and Hollis are really working hard right now trying to get their property and land going on. They got a lot going on there, a lot of work, a lot of the work themselves. And they're really working hard. So pray for her so she'll have strength to, you know, have abundant strength and extra strength, supernatural strength. And, okay, there it is right there. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Girl, I just tapped into it right there and saying that information. Because this is about, you know, you're not going to have enough strength to do what you need to do, you know, in the natural realm, I'm saying. But watch this, because God's going to, and like you've done, and like we do, we say, God, you know, I don't have the strength for this. Like the thing that I'm stepping into right now as far as the property and that kind of thing, I'll talk about more about it later if I decide that God is with me in it, and I'm leaning toward that right now. So where was I going with that? Yeah. Okay, thank you, Lord. I'm bringing that. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, so I know that I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the financial strength to do it. It's going to take God's financial strength. It's going to take God's physical. I don't have the physical strength to do what I'm going to do. I would like to hire people to do some things. If I take this property, it's going to need some work. Stuff that I know how to do easily, you know. So it's going to take a lot of physical strength to do this, and I'm going to love it if we do this and it all gets approved by everybody, including our board. You know, the strength that I'm going to need is going to be, it's going to be supernatural strength, financial supernatural strength, financially, the supernatural strength physically, the supernatural wisdom, all that whole supernatural realm. And I saw God giving you supernatural physical strength from the supernatural revelation of Christ. Whether you're hearing it from PGN, through me, or through somebody else, or through something you get from Doug, whatever the guy's name is, Doug, and other people that you listen to, and whether it comes, but it's going to come from the Word of God. That's what I'm saying, from the Word of the Lord, one way or the other, out of the Bible, directly out of the Bible, out of your meditation time, out of your worship time, that God's going to start enduing you with supernatural strength. Even sometimes when you feel like your strength is gone and you've got to have more strength to do this, like, God, I can't do this without you. You know, just like David. David would – the thing, I don't know if you were able to listen last night or not, Jeannie, but I was talking last night about how I used to hate to listen to David whine, King David in Psalms, you know. I said, man, he's quite a whiner, man. What is wrong with him? And as my dad told me a lot when I was a kid, he said, Randy, stop whining and complaining. So I had this thing about whining and complaining. I've even used to tell as a preacher, I would tell people, don't be whining and complaining. So I had a problem with whining and complaining to God, right? Well, what I found out was it wasn't whining and complaining that David was doing. David was simply saying, God, I can't do this without you. And I think of that little whiner, what's wrong with him? But what he was saying, Jeannie, what I got was that he was saying to God, God, I can't do this without you. And I realized for the first time he wasn't whining. He was dining with the Lord, like, God, you know, I can't do this without you. I'm going to fall apart. Everything I do will be worthless. I'm worthless and things. But you know, then all of a sudden he breaks through. So I realized, how did he get his breakthrough? About, you whiner? You're going to get a breakthrough by whining. The Lord says, you're not whining, Randy. He's dining with me, telling me, God, I can't do this without you. And it sounds like whining. It sounds like he's not dining, but he's really dining. He's not whining. And I thought, oh, my God, I never thought about it. So, Jeannie, honest to God, I said, dear God, so all the time that I was, like when I was a kid, I'm sure there's times that I whined, but sometimes I was just trying to tell him my heart. You know, like my mama, I told my mama, I really have a hard time learning, Mom. I can't get there. Oh, you get in your bedroom and you do it. You know, but she didn't know what my deal was. You know, she was, I've done the same thing and worse with my kids. So I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that when I would try to, she thought I was complaining that I didn't want to do my work and learn how to do my homework. But it was the fact that I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. I would go to her and say, Mom, I can't get it. She said, you could whine and get back in there. And so I realized, so I was afraid to cast my care upon the Lord and complain to the Lord with a good complaint, right? What my heart is feeling, what's going on with me. So I found myself looking at David like, oh, my God, I wonder if he broke through. He was telling God, you know, with pain and anguish, God, they're going to surround me and take me down. Where are you at? He wasn't like complaining and whining and doubting that God was with him. He was just saying, God, you know, without you, I can't make it. And God's like going, Randy, I love it. I love it when David does that. You don't like it because you thought he was whining. No, he was dining. He was dining. He was here. Yeah, he's crying. Yeah, God, you know, if you don't deliver me, I'm not going to be delivered. And then God's going like, yeah, man. And that's when the breakthrough came. Woo! Because I can never understand why after he whined, God said, oh, you poor little pathetic thing. I guess I have to bless you. Just keep you whining. I wasn't. Yeah, I totally misguided on that one. And, so I realized that David had this thing where he just, oh, God, you know, I can't do it without you, God. I really can't do it. And then God would come breaking through the clouds and say, I'm here to rescue you, here, boy. Thank you for telling, you know, me that you can't do it without me, because most people think they can do it without me after a while. And, you know, so thank you. You know, it's like so he would break through for him. Jeannie, that was a whole new thing for me. I mean, I'm still struggling with it because I feel like I'm whining. You know, when I'm telling God I was doing it today. I was driving down the road. Oh, God, you know, I was. And normally I would have thought, I would have got through and I felt guilty. Because, hey, you whiner. You just whine. God, let's be whining. You know, you need to be giving thanks and giving praise and not whining. And I wasn't whining today. I realized that I was just letting God know that, you know, I'm not going to make it without you, God. I've got to have you. And I realized that's when Jesus said, I can do nothing except what I see my Father do. For realizing that's what Jesus was. And he cried too. With loud crying and tears in Hebrews, he sought the one who could deliver him from death. Wow, the Son of God was crying with loud crying and tears, Jeannie, seeking the one that could deliver him from death. He's the Son of God. He didn't need nobody to help deliver him from the sin. He could do it himself. He's strong. He's powerful. But Jesus just chose to lean completely on the Father. And that's what made David such a great worshiper. That's what makes you a great worshiper too, girl. In the name of Jesus. have strength coming to you by the word of God. Amen. All right, 847-505, I'm going to talk to you real quickly.
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Marja. All right, Marja. All right. Let me take a drink of water here. Give me just a second. Hallelujah. Everybody make sure and drink your water. Almost through here, you'll say it. All right, Marja, good to have you. I see God adjusting your eyesight, making you more sharp, making you more focused. That's what he does with me all the time because, you know, I found out, Marja, that if I'm not focused, my focus isn't on God. I can try to focus and try and really try hard. And, I mean, God, I'm trying to focus on you. And, you know, the storm gets my attention, and I'm sorry. I just lost my focus, and I got my eyes on the storm, my God. Like Peter did, Jorah, and I started sinking into that blah, blah, blah stuff, and God, help me, Jesus. And I said, Lord, you know, help me stay focused on you, because focus, Marja, is the thing that keeps us from never sinking. I mean, you have to realize that. If you're always focused, you're never sinking, never. If you're always focused, here's the thing. Peter was already focused, more so than the ones who were back in the boat, who just sat there. But he was focused on the Lord. He was also focused on, remember what Jesus said, what I do, you can do. So Peter's going like, if you said if we can do what you do and you're walking on the water, then can I walk on the water? And Jesus said, yeah, come on. You're nice out here. Even with that blasted storm coming, blasting toward us. Come on out now. So, you know, he gets going, and he's pretty focused. He's more focused than the rest of them. And so he steps out because of his focus. He got his eyes on Jesus. He's really doing good. He's walking on the water. Nobody's ever done that. You have to really focus to walk on water. I mean, I'm not talking about physical water. That would take amazing focus and God's approval. But this shows you how focused Peter was to walk on the water. He was focused on what? On Jesus. So your focus is everything. And then here came the storm roaring in his ear, and he'd been on the water most all of his life. He knew what the storms were like. He knew what the ones that could take you down and what it had done to a lot of people. And by the grace of God, he was still alive because he knew what storm could do. So he heard that storm coming. He's going like, man, that storm is crazy, wild, crazy. So he got his eyes off Jesus, right, just for a moment and focused on the storm. So he took his good focus and focused that with his good, strong focus, good, strong focus on the storm. So that good, strong focus went from keeping him on the water to sinking him in the water. You know, so that's what God began to show me. You know, there's different levels of focus. And so, Marja, we go through these things where we go through a little situation, and as soon as somebody cries, you know, what do you think you're doing, Marja? You don't know what you're doing. You can't serve God like that. Right away, we let go. We lose our focus for a minute, you know, right away. And then, you know, 3 months later, they're saying it, and we go through a little more, and then they say it, and it takes us a couple of days to lose our focus. Then pretty soon, we don't lose our focus at all with that. That doesn't mess with us at all. And then we go from level to level to glory to glory in our focus realm. Because every struggle we go through, every battle we go through, the first couple of times we might get our eyes on the storm a little bit and sink. Jesus is always there to help us. But we do sink. He has to say, where's your faith at, or where's your focus at? And so, Mark, God is really wanting, he's really showing you, going to show you, and it is showing you how to, you know, every time you keep your focus on him, you're going to be extremely, extremely successful and being able to be like Peter and keep your focus on the Lord. But when your focus is really good focus, but when it's focused on the negative thing, just really on the negative thing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like Peter, you know, it's like when he got caught up in the storm, he went down fast. He didn't go down after a few minutes. No, he went right down. Why? Because his focus was so strong. And when it was on the storm, it was strong. And when it was on Jesus, it was strong. So strong you walk on water. So, you know, our strong focus, when we focus the wrong thing, we go down fast. So God's really showing you the focus realm and the success of that. A meditation is like focus. When God told Joshua, to focus on day and night, meditate, to focus on the word day and night. That's the so focus is one of the greatest things God's told me personally, Marja, about that. If you can work on your focus, Randy, then you'll be successful in everything you do, everything you do. Because the biggest strategy that makes us fail or sink is getting our focus off Jesus and on whatever the problem is. Mainly because we think we can fix it. You know, yeah. Instead of keeping God our source. And it's something that we all battle with all the time. Every one of us. I'm always battling with it at different levels. I'm always going to a different level. So I'm struggling with the same thing, but I'm struggling at level 10 when I used to struggle at level 5. Right? So now I'm at a higher level, but I'm still struggling with the same things, but my focus level is becoming more intense. So God help her, show her that way she'll be successful in Jesus' name and be blessed. Amen. All right, 225-454, who am I talking to you from, please? Yeah, 225-454, who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 225, are you there? All right, 225, I guess. Yeah. I can't, there may be a snore, I can't tell. All right. All right, I don't know who that is, but we thank you, Jesus, for that place, God, that you're bringing this person to that place of surrender. God, and that surrender is that beautiful place of peace. Surrender is that beautiful place of, you know, if even though God slays me, I will praise him. That's what Job said. Even though you slay me. It's the whole thing. It's like it's all trusting God through the good, the bad, and the ugly. We trust God through the good, and we want to learn not to complain about the bad, but to trust him for the bad, to trust him during the bad, to trust him during the struggle. When you conquer that and when you enter that, the victory over that, you've really done something. And so 225, I see God really, bringing you to that place of victory because you have you're really successful in that area. And I see a new anointing coming on you to pray for the sick, to pray for sick people, not just physical sick people, but you know, mentally sick and just people that are sick. Sick meaning not being healthy. At whatever level that is, God's giving you the power over sickness. He wants you to begin to pray over the power of sickness and break the power of sickness over people, and believe God for miracles. Amen. To adjust them or to totally deliver them or set them free. Amen. In Jesus' name, open that up for her in the name of Jesus. All right, 610-427. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa from PA.
Hey,
I'm texting.
Lisa. Okay, yeah, text me. I'm sorry, I cut you off there. Go ahead and you say you're texting me. Okay, I'll wait for your text. Sorry about that. All right, Lisa, thank you. I'll wait for that text. And that was really cool about the land. He had a reason to cry. What are you talking about? He had a reason to cry. That was really cool about the land. Sharon, I don't think I understand what you're saying there. Donald and Tanya said, but the phone kicked me offline, but I'm listening. Okay. Well, I ministered to you there. I hope you got that, bro. I wasn't sure. Sometimes it's hard to feel everything because I try to keep my focus and answer text. So I'm getting better doing it, and I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm doing better at it. And 8 weeks ago, yeah. Earlier you said Jesus was crying. Yes, he was crying. Yes, okay, that's I guess you're saying it. Yes, that was really cool about the land. He had a reason to cry. He sure did. Boy, did he ever. Wow, and the thing is that he cried with loud crying tears. That's what got me was that. He wasn't Mr. what most people think, hyper-faithful, Mr. Cool. Well, yeah, man, I got it. No problem. I don't have to cry out to God. I trust God. You know, I've got faith confession. I can faith confess my sins. Nah, man. He knew even Jesus Christ said, without the Father, I can't make it. And he lived like that. It's amazing. Okay, Lisa, I'm waiting for you to text me. I guess I'll pray over you, and then if you're texting me, I'll get your text. Okay, there you go. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Lisa tonight, God. I thank you for the favor of God in her life, God, that you're favoring her to among the unfavorable. You give her favor among the unfavorable, the people that the world doesn't favor, people that the world reject, people that aren't favored, are seemingly not favored. But you're going to help them find the favor of God in their unfavorableness. The things that may have made them unfavorable, maybe unsavorable, unlikely for somebody to want a taste of them because their taste is like whatever, really messed up. So finding favor among the unfavorable is like being able to, people that are unfavored, people that have messed up, maybe the world has given up on them or whatever, or they're ostracized or they're whatever. That God has given you, the favor to favor them and to show them the favor of God so they can realize that even though they've messed up, maybe they messed up, maybe they haven't. Either way, favor of God, that God favors them. All right. Whoever this is. Okay. That's Deborah Davis. Okay, Deborah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, Deborah Davis is sending me things saying, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Yeah. Proverbs 10:22. That's one of the scriptures that my best friend used to quote all the time. And I'm going to copy that and paste. If you don't mind, I'm going to take that word from you. I'm going to copy and paste that. Put that on my, right here. Thank you, Deborah, for that. I'm copying and pasting that word. Thank you, Deborah, for that. I copy and paste that. Wanting that word. Now the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Wow. Oh, my beautiful power. All right, Lisa, I'm waiting for your text. You haven't got it to me that I know of. If you're ready, you can send that. Yes. Okay. All right, so I'm going to go to the next caller, and then when you text me the text, I'll pray over whatever. Okay. All right. Oh, there it is right there. I got it. Prophet Randy Shalom, please pray for me and my family, Devante and Ma, Andre, too. I will text you back in my little dilemma that I'm dealing with. In Proverbs 10:22 and 13:22 are my scriptures. Thank you. Oh, 13:22? Proverbs 13:22? What does that say, 13:22? Oh, wait a minute. Was that 10? Oh, that was 10:22. I didn't even pay attention to the 22. The year 22, Deborah, I just connected that to 22. I'm saying that the Lord can show me that the year 2022 is the year of treasures. Wow. And the treasure of the blessed of the Lord maketh rich and the sorrow. 10:22. That's October 22. Let me remember that. October 22. October, the month of October. Wow. And then, yeah, she never sends me a clap and a praise to the Lord. Yeah. I just realized, I mean, I didn't even, when Lisa said that her favorite scriptures, her two scriptures were Proverbs 13:22 and 10:22, I thought, was that 10:22? And they're both, because they were both 22. 10:22, 13:22. And I don't think that was 22, was it? And I just showed you the, I went back and said, oh, my God, it was 22. What does 13:22 say? Is that the other scripture I got earlier? And I don't remember it. I get to flowing, man. I don't keep up with what I get. I just go. Where did I get? Where's 13:22 come in at? That was about the finds the. Wait a minute. Who sent me that scripture? I'm getting lost here. Okay, I got to move on. Oh, I can bring for Devontae yet. And Ma and Andre. Lord, we thank you for Ma. We thank you, Jesus. Just bless her, strengthen her, God. Well, let her just feel love and give love. Just let her find that security, being secure, knowing that she's secure, that God, you're the only one that can make her feel secure. You're the only one that can make her secure. And I thank you, Lord, for her security with you, that her spiritual security, her salvation security with you, God. She has that, that she knows she has that, so she can feel secure. The beginning of security, Ma, is with Jesus, knowing you're secure with him. And then all of our security began to be worked out through that, from that foundation, that cornerstone. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, wow. Man, I don't know what's going on tonight, but Devante. Hallelujah. Bless him, Jesus. Just bless him. Well, I thank you that you show him that you're smiling on him. You want him to just walk straight with you, walk right with you. But, you know, you're going to show him that walking with you is a little bit different than he thinks. You walk with us with what we know and what we don't know. If we don't know everything, you walk with us anyway. You walk with us with what we know. You walk with us with what we know. In Jesus' name. You walk with us with what we know. Devontae, God's going to walk with you with what you know. You don't have to know everything. Right? You don't have to know everything about everything. You have to know everything about God. All that. He it don't take just a little bit of information to walk with God. All right. Here's 13:22. Let me look at this. Let me see what I'm saying. I'm trying to get too many things going here. I get messed up. So y'all don't send me too much stuff. Well, send it to me. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Oh, okay. So that's awesome. That's Proverbs 13:22. I didn't know that. I mean, I've read it many times, but I didn't know it was it. That is really cool. Proverbs 13:22. Okay. Hang on a second. I got way too much stuff going on here. Okay, I got it now. All right, so just bless him, God. Show him that you're smiling on him, God, not because of what he knows and how perfect he is and how he did everything, but you just love him. You're just smiling on him. Jesus smiled on Peter, and he just denied him. He just denied. He said, I don't know who he is. After he said, you know, I'm committed to you, God. I'm so committed to you. And this is you, Devontae. I'm so committed to you, God. I'm so committed to you. I'm really committed to you. I'm really committed. And then, you know, the next day, he's like, I don't really know who he is exactly. No, I don't know who he is. You know, I've done that a time or two myself, but, you know, that's just kind of you know. But you know what? Even when Jesus and Peter got back together later, you know, and even Jesus told him he's going to deny him, you know, not betray him, deny him. He goes, hey, man, I love you, man. You're going to feed my sheep, right? Because you love me. You love me? Do you love me? And Devontae, that's all he's asking. Do you love him? Learn to love him. He loves you right where you are. He knows all your stuff, believe me, through and through. He knows your nasty stuff. He knows your wonderful stuff. He knows your heart. He knows your heart like a child. Believe me. All right, Carmen says, for Lisa's Devante, Levante, rise up, Devante. Oh, that's what that means? Levante, rise up, Devante, in Spanish. Yeah. Oh, that is really awesome. Levante, L-E-V. Okay, so you're calling me now. Don't call me. No, please don't call me. I know you didn't mean to, but You need to hang up the phone. You're calling me 610. Somebody from 610 is calling me. All right. Levante. I'm getting worse. I'm messing it up really bad. You guys aren't doing a great job teaching me Spanish, but, you know, if I get it in the spirit, then I got it. If I don't get it in the spirit, I don't got it. Anyway, that's awesome. So I'm sure she hears that. Lisa, you're hearing that for Lisa Devante. Levante. Rise up, Devante. There you go. Yeah. The Lord's smiling on you, man. You know, not because you're perfect. Are you kidding me? If he only smiled at me when I was perfect, he wouldn't be doing it too much. Maybe once in a while. It's like, you know, fellowship with him, with where you're at, you know. Just fellowship with him. Not where your mama's at, where you wish you were at, but where you're at. Fellowship with him is where you're at. Talk to him about, yeah, yesterday I really screwed up, God. I know you saw it. You know, you're going to have to either help me not do that or I'm going to keep doing it because, you know, just, you know, be real honest with him. Just talk to him. You know, you think you don't know everything you're doing in the dark? Everything you say, everything you do, you know, you think you didn't know all that stuff? He knows every bit of it. And he wants to be right there with you to bring you through it and help you. He loves you, man. Ain't no doubt about it. Woo! Andre, we bless Ma. We bless Ma and Andre. Thank you, Lord, for Andre. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the help that comes from the Lord. God, that not from man. You eventually, it reaches man. But first, we're going to get our help from the Lord. Then when the Lord gets hears our cry, not our whining, but our crying. We do cry to God. That's one of the Bible. I'm getting this straight, y'all. Honestly, I haven't had this straight. Y'all heard me say, you big whiny baby. You know, hey, that's me. My daddy taught me that because he called me a little whiny baby sometimes. And I don't think I whined that much, honestly. That's probably why I didn't talk a lot, you know. Probably, I don't know. And my daddy meant well, believe me. He did. Good man. But I was a good man. But anyway, so there you go. Awesome. Jesus. For Devante, God. For my brother, in Jesus' name. Andre, bless him, Jesus, and bless him, God. Just bless him, Jesus. And find that place of favor. To find that place of favor in your pit that'll take you to the palace. Amen. All right. Okay, so I'm getting all these different things going on. Sarah, please pray for me tonight. Wisdom and knowledge and to be able to retain knowledge on my job. Yes, okay, there you go. Are you on tonight? Did I miss you? 251, I think. No, is it 252? All right. 612805. Did I pray for 612805? All right, 612805, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Hi, Joyce. I knew that number looked familiar.
Hi.
Hi. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for Joyce tonight, God. I think you put a thumbs up with her, God. You know, just your approval upon her, Father. Your approval isn't – we have unmerited favor, right? That's what we have. But we try to make it merited favor, right? I know we all do that. It's not just me. I was trying to, it's just me. No, it's not. You know, we try to find that merited favor where, you know, okay, God, I know I got it coming this time because I did the right thing. And like God's like going, Joyce and Randy, you guys, learn to live off unmerited favor. Because, you know, I'm God and I'm holy and I'm perfect and you're not perfect. So I give you grace, the grace that enables you to be perfect in my eyes without being perfect. And it's called the grace, called unmerited, undeserved favor. So I don't favor you, Joyce, because you do everything perfect, like Randy doesn't do everything perfect. Of course, one of these days, the Lord says, I'll tell you some things about he's done that's been real stupid. Maybe you'll relate. Lord, don't you dare tell on me. Don't you dare. But I trust you. Go ahead. Okay. So anyway, Joyce, my God, come on. Holy Ghost is flowing like a river. To learn to drink of the favor of God, knowing that we don't deserve it. That's what you do. You're drinking it. You're getting drunk on the favor. And it's like God sending you a bottle of, you know, really Holy Ghost bottle of wine, you know, in the Spirit, and send it to you, and you're popping it, and you're like going, or whatever they do, you pop it, and you open it up, and you start drinking it. You start drinking it because you're drinking. You say, I don't deserve this, but I'm getting it. I'm drinking it anyway. Exactly. It's like, don't pick it up and drink it when you feel like you deserve it. Drink it so that when you're drinking it, you know you don't deserve it, but you're enjoying it. And pretty soon you start realizing that he's favoring you because he looks at you in favor regardless of your perfection or imperfections. You know, and we thank God hears our prayers on whether we are doing things right or not, or perfect or not, and all that. And it's like, you know, hey, get over it, man. You know, I love you and I favor you because of unmerited favor. In other words, you can never do it perfectly because God is the only one that does it perfectly. Jesus did it perfectly. But those are the only two. So God gives us this free ticket to ride, even though we didn't deserve it. And we need to learn to take the ride knowing that we don't deserve it. Because the more you take the ride that you know you don't deserve, or drink the drink you know you don't deserve to drink, the quality of it is like much higher than what you can afford. Well, you're drinking it anyway because he's giving it to you to drink. And when you drink it or you take that ride that you know, first class, whatever it is, take it first class, and you're like going, man, I feel favored. Even though you know you don't deserve it, pretty soon you're gonna forget about whether you deserve it or not. You're gonna be like going, God, give me up to ride. I got a ticket to ride, and I don't care. I don't know. I think that's a Beatles song. I don't even know how that fits in there, but drink it, girlfriend. Drink it. It's good for you. It starts showing you the love of God, the favor of God, the mercy of God, the tenderness of God, what God has done on our behalf. In spite of us, he still favors us. In spite of us, he still favors us. So when you start drinking that in, you start realizing that you're gone. Pretty soon, you know, it washes away all that condemnation. Pretty soon you find yourself doing right, walking in perfection more and more all the time without even trying. Why? Because it's the favor of God. Favor, unmerited favor, is even there to favor you to walk in perfection. But you do it because you're drinking of unmerited favor. I know that may not make sense, but it makes sense to me. All right, 402-214. Who am I talking to? You from, please? You got a ticket to ride. And I don't care. I think that means something completely different to that song, but that's not what my words weren't what the words of that song are. You know, that was a completely different thing. Yeah. All right, that is Sharon, and I think she is sawing a log. Bless your heart, dear. You're just patient as you can be. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for giving her life, giving her peace, you know, giving her that food from heaven that she doesn't have money to buy, but she has the currency to buy it. She has the faith to buy it. That's one good thing about God. He says, come buy of me gold tried in the fire without money. You who have money, you who don't have any money, you don't have anything, you come and buy of me gold. And see, that's one thing I like about Jesus, that we can buy of him, and get his food and get his ministry and get his stuff without physical money. We just buy it with our faith, with the faith that he gave us. Right? He gives you faith, he gives you currency, and then you buy it back with your faith, you know, in a sense. And then, you know, so you always have that currency because your faith never runs out. Hallelujah. Of course, and the more you use it, the more you get. The less you use it, the less you have, right? The more you use it, the more you have. Well, thank you, Jesus, for that realm, God, So the more we use it, the more we think we're going to use it all, we're going to use it all up, we're not going to be left. No, with God, when you use it all, you get double. You use it, you don't. When you use it, you don't lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. Basically. All right, Sarah, 251. Thank you for Sarah. We pray for Sarah tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Sarah. And in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for opening up her heart, God, to a new place. God, that you bless her with that where any fear of disease or the fear of sickness or fear of anything, any kind of fear that tries to come against her and tempt her, that she'll be able to retain knowledge. She'll be able to retain that knowledge and to get wisdom, Father. And the Bible says to ask for knowledge. When you ask for wisdom, you get it. When you ask for wisdom, you get wisdom, right? So we ask the Lord. So God may bring that wisdom through me or through somebody else or just through you, however. But when you ask for wisdom, God always gives you wisdom one way or the other. Sometimes we just don't know we got wisdom from God. We're just like some person told me that. Yeah, well, it came from, you know, God sent it to you as a gift. And he wants you to know that when you ask, he's going to give it to you. So give her strength, God. Open her up in Jesus' name. Free her. And in Jesus' name, open up that place in her heart to know that you love to give. You love to give wisdom. You're not stingy with it. You're not going, nah, I don't think I'm going to give you it. You do everything I want. No, he gives us wisdom so that we can do what he wants. The wisdom he gives us enables us to do what he wants us to do. Wisdom puts you in a place of doing what he wants you to do. That's what wisdom is. So we get wisdom to do what he wants to do, not waiting for God to give us wisdom if we do what he wants us to do. No, he gives us wisdom to do what he wants us to do. It's the information, the power to do what he wants and to get it done. Thank you, Lord, for breathing that in her, giving her that special place with you, God, that she will know that she's special, that you do watch over her. I don't know how you do it, where you watch over millions of people and you watch over us individually. We have angels. We have our own individual angels. We have a lot of things that God does. So open it up in Jesus' name. And favor her, God. Let her favor the favor that she has. Let her know that it comes from you, Father. It's not just something she did because she, you know, whatever. It's your favor, your wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Give her brain strength to retain information. All right. All right. 252-725. Who am I talking to you from, please?
It's Vicky from Newport.
What, Vicky?
Yes.
Vicky from Newport. Okay, thank you, Vicky. All right, Vicky, good to have you tonight from Newport. Thank you, Lord, for Vicky, God. I thank you, Father, for her life, God. I thank you for suspending things for her. Sometimes we run out of time. We run out of we don't have enough money to take care of something, so God suspends it for us, gives us an extension or whatever. Works on things for us on our behalf and gives us information on how to, to get more time on things instead of getting more behind on things. You know, God gives us the ability to get extended or, you know, whatever. And so I see God really showing you his favor, Vicky, and that the things that you need to catch up on, that somebody's going to, he's going to work it out in a way that, it's going to surprise you. So thank you, Jesus, for opening it up for her, giving her extensions on things that she needs, more time on things. I speak your provision over her, Father. You will provide for her and give her wisdom on what to do with what she has. Because how to increase what you have is you learn how to do right with what you have. When you do right in God's eyes with what you have, then you increase it and multiply it. You know, in other words, he blesses it. When we just try to do our own thing, then he can't bless it. God doesn't bless our own thing. He only blesses his thing. So he teaches us his ways so we can do his thing. And God's teaching you his ways, Vicky. He's trying to show you his ways more and more all the time. And the way you treat people, the way you treat yourself, and especially the way you treat yourself. God's going to really show you how to treat yourself. He wants you to treat you. He wants you to treat you the way he treats you. And believe me, he is a gentleman. He is a lover and a gracious, kind, favorable God to those who don't even have favor for themselves. So God's going to show you that he favors you, that he's looking after you, and he's going to show you how to look after yourself. But if you're not looking after yourself, at least by his terms, you know, the way he says to it, then you're not going to be able to love anybody else or take care of anybody else. In order to take care of anybody else, you have to let God take care of you. So the Lord is saying, let me love you, Vicky. Let me show you that I love you. Let me sit back and just quit trying to love me all the time, you know, and let me love you. Because if you don't let me love you, you're not going to have love to love anybody else with, right? But we love because he first loved us. So God's really bringing you at this place of drinking in of his love. And you learn to drink in of his love. And when you drink in of his love, then what happens is that you have something to give other people. In other words, you need to be strengthened yourself, Vicky, so that you can give strength to other people, right? So, like if I'm gonna live long and be healthy, I have to go, you know, do a little exercise and eat right, or take care of myself so that I can take care of others. And so, same thing with you. God's really going to show you how to walk in that place of love, to let God love you so that you can have love, you know, not just to love other people with, but to love the things that you do. You know, when you love the things that you do, you're happy. You don't sweat as much. It's not as hard to do things when you love doing it. It's when you have to do it. It's hard. I don't really want to do this, but I got to do it to make a living. I got to get money. I got to do it. No, God wants to. He wants to you to love what you're doing. But you have to sit and let him love you, right? More and more all the time, let him love you so you can not only love others and love yourself, but love the things that you do. It's what makes you prosper in the things that you do. You love it. Enjoy it. You can love things that God gives. God will give you things. God will give you things to love because he loves them. For God so loved the world. If God loves the world, why can't you love the world, right? He said that we got to love God. We love it with God's love. So this whole message tonight really is really the Lord saying, let me love you so you can love others and love yourself. But you got to let me love you. Amen. God's really going to show you how to do that in a new way. All right, 214-701, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Latoria from Texas.
Hey, Latoria. All right, Latoria, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Latoria from Texas. Thank you, Jesus, for Latoria. Thank you, Lord, for her voice, God, that you love to hear her voice. And God's making your voice to where even you love to hear your voice. Some people don't like to hear their voice. Sometimes I know people that tell me, man, I wish I had a different voice. But God's going to show you, Latoria, that he's giving you a voice that's powerful, a voice that's commanding, a voice that's authoritative, a voice that's loving, a voice that's, you know, sexy. You know, God makes women sexy. That's what they're supposed to be sexy, right? That's what God made them. The sexy thing came from God. And so, you know, that your voice has all those things in it, and it's all there. And he's really going to show you to love your voice and to love, because when you're praying or talking to people, communicating, if you love your voice, then people are going to love your voice too. They're going to love to hear you talk to them. They're going to love the way when you give them instruction, they're going to be able to go, wow, I love the way you talk like that. You know what I mean? So you have to love your own voice. And God's showing you that he's giving you a voice that you can love and that other people love too. And the voice is everything. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So the voice is extremely important. And your voice is going to speak command. Your voice is going to reach out and connect. You know, your voice is going to create things. When God gives you information about something, gives you an idea, you're gonna take an idea and create that thing. Only because God gives you the material. The material is the information. The material is the words. And then when you speak those words, when you pray those words that come from God build something. They have to come from God first. You can't just say something over and over and over again and it can make it happen. It has to come from God. And I'm not just saying come from the Bible. It has to come from God from the Bible. People pick scriptures out all the time thinking, I'll just quote this till it happens. Man, it ain't going to happen. That's going to come from God. Even God's word is reaffirmed by him. Yes, this is the right one. Jesus said, and it is also written, because Satan used the scripture on him, right? And Jesus said, it is also written, because Satan gave him Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, that the angel is going to catch you. He said, yeah, I know that's the word, but there's also another scripture that says, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. You know, so God giving you the scripture, breathing, so your words, your information become powerful. They change things. They open up things. They close things. You can close things and open things with your mouth when your mouth is in line with the Lord. And God's really going to show you how to use your mouth. The Bible even says, you know, what you say you can have. But you just can't say whatever you want, right? You know that. I know that. We know that. But we say what the Lord says. That's why prophecy and the prophetic is so important. Because you say what the Lord says. And when you say what the Lord says, it happens because he said it. He's saying it. He's quickening it. And his words are powerful, but they come through human beings. And God's showing you that he's chosen you to speak his word. And not just in preaching and that kind of thing, but just in his word about situations, right? His word is powerful. His word creates. Yeah. So, amen. All right, 919-995. Who am I talking to? Are we from, please? Hello? All right, Cheryl. Thank you, Cheryl. I think that's Cheryl right there. Cheryl, not fan. All right, 919-995. I looked it up. That's Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, God. Thank you, Lord, for giving her the freedom to open up her heart, God. Okay, and for Cheryl, God, I thank you, Lord, that you bring in that place of healing and deliverance, God, that you showing her how to receive it, how to open her heart to it, God, and how to love the things of God, even when they're contrary to what we want to hear, that to learn to love them, because that's what changes us. And God is changing you into his image. He's changing you into his likeness. Sometimes we have to take away the pain and take away the hurt in order for us to receive things, you know, that can change us. And, so he washes out the pain and the hurt. Sometimes our pain and hurt reject God's word, even though we don't want to reject it. Love God. I know you love God's word, but our pain sometimes rejects it. Sometimes sees it in a way that, like, misunderstands it and therefore rejects it. So I see God really opening up your eyes so you can see and be able to understand, interpret his word properly. And when he speaks something to you, you'll understand it correctly, right, as love and compassion for you. And mercy for you, and deliverance for you, and salvation for you, and help for you, because your help comes from the Lord, Cheryl, in Jesus' name. So open her up, God, to the help that comes from above, from the Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And teach her how to come into agreement with it, and how to see it the way God says it, instead of as something maybe contrary or, yeah, as a blessing, and as the word of the Lord. All right, 111, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Barbara. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, Barbara. All right, Barbara. Gotcha tonight. All right, thank you. Good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for the compassion, God. And Barbara, Lord, I thank you for that ministry of compassion. Father, compassion works in a lot of different ways, and it's not always kind of what we think it is. Sometimes, you know, as you know, Barbara, it works. The compassion of God works in a way that will help a person straighten out something that they really haven't wanted to straighten out. Show them why they need to straighten it out. And give them the wisdom of how to work on it. So I see the Lord really, you know, giving you wisdom on how to deal with people's money. You know, people's money. I don't want people's money. I should do anything. Hang on just a second here. Give me just 1 minute here, Barbara. I'll say. Okay, Barbara, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, dealing with people's money. I don't know if that just kind of talks about dealing with people's money. You know, we got to teach people how to deal with their money. And so, you know, God gives me, the power to share with people that they need to deal right with their money, do right with their money. And when we talk to the sheep, when we talk to people, you know, one of the things that people don't like to talk about because they're afraid somebody get offended, oh, we want your money. No, we don't. It's not about wanting your money. It's about getting your money situation straightened out. You know, show me the money. You know, what do you do with your money? What are you doing with your money? Are you being wasteful? Are you, you know, paying your bills on time? Are you taking care of business? Are you giving to God what belongs to God and giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar? Are you doing that? Because that's what Jesus said. You know, it wasn't me that said that. You know, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. In other words, you know, the government, make sure you're taking care of what belongs to you. You know, your taxes and that kind of thing. That's important. You know, I don't take care of the government. The government's not. Listen, man, the government's out there paving those roads you're driving on. But you don't want to drive on those roads. Pay your taxes, but don't drive on the road because they'll nail you. You know, so we give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. You tithe and give an offering. And also you, you know, being a good testimony with your money. So we need to talk to people about their money. And it's harder to do because they think, you know, oh, yeah, you're the money person. No, man, God talks about everything. He's not ashamed. He talks, what you doing with your money? I got money. Because one of the people's biggest problem, Barbara, as you know, is money. One of the biggest, most prayed prayers is about money. You know, so then the people don't want to talk about money. How are we going to get them straightened on their money if we can't talk to them about it? So God's going to show you how to talk about the money situation and deal with other people's money. Yeah, and dealing with that realm of money, so it's really important. You know, right, the love of money is the root of all evil. And people walk in the love of money, don't even know they're walking in it. And they can't figure out why all kind of evil happens to them, why their money never gets blessed, and why they're always coming up short. Well, you're coming up short because you're not doing right with your money. That's just simple. You can say, oh, it's something else. No, it's that. Period. And God show us how to do with it correctly. God will take care of it. All right, 111, another 111. Who am I talking to you from, please?
God bless you, Prophet Randy. This is Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. All right. You got two 111s together. Got Barbara 111 and Carmen 111. Tell the 111 people tonight. I saw a text you were trying to send me there. I don't do very well texting during the show unless it's something really short. But I had four birdies grow in a clay pot. They flew away today. Like Danny said, they graduated. Danny? All right. They were in a hole on the side of the house. I had to take them out, so I placed them in a pot and hung pot under the light. Okay? Wonderful. You were sending that to me, right? I don't know if you were actually sent that to somebody else. But, can you find someone? I can try to help you find someone. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, amen. I'm not sure what all that is, but really cool. Thank you, Jesus, for finding people. Seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be open. Thank you, Lord, for the messages and the message system that you give, Carmen, God, the message system, the messages and the message system. Once God starts giving you messages, you know, for people, like what I do, it gives me a message system. In other words, he gave me, like, blog talk and other ways, you know, just meeting people in the store and giving me boldness to and confidence to, you know, minister the word of the Lord to people. And so when he gives you a message, when he gives you information for people, then he gives you a way to deliver that message one way or the other. So, Lord, I thank you for opening up that to a broader degree, that the messages that you're giving her and the way to get those messages out so that all can walk in it, so that she can, you know, do it at will. You know, do it as whenever, be in the place of the light of God shining on her where she can see, like, this is for this person, that's for that person, and knowing what, sometimes I know what words for, are for people and sometimes I don't. That's why I talk to people individually on the show. Like I get their name and that's not, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? You know, and I hear the voice and, with me, that's the way it works. And this thing is voice activated for me. And just because I hear their voice, I don't have to hear their voice necessarily, but hear their voice is just one of the ways that it works for me. And so, you know, I thank you, Lord, for giving, opening up Carmen to all the different ways you speak to her, through her, giving her the ways to do it, giving her ways to, you know, deliver messages, to talk to people, to communicate. You know, we just don't have a message, but it's how we give that message. And I thank you, Lord, for giving her the way to deliver messages. So that her vehicle of ministry, her ministry, God, will begin to be blessed by God at a higher level because she's moving up to a higher level in the way she gets the messages and the way she gives the messages out to you, the wisdom, the knowledge. People think, well, you got a message from God, you just say it. No. I mean, sort of, but there's a, the ways of God and how you talk, how you speak, the way you do it. Jesus taught many parables about many different things. And so, you know, that was his way of communicating. And even though most people find people didn't understand it, it stuck in their mind so that God could, in the future, could go back and say, remember that when Jesus said that about the tree and the plant in the garden and all that? Yeah. He said, that means this. So giving information to people that will stick in their mind, even though they don't understand it right then, later on they're going to go back, remember when Carmen said this? Yeah. This is what it means. Oh, wow. So messages and the method of message and how we deliver them is a big thing. So I thank you, Lord, for giving her that. In this, who she's trying to find? David. Oh, that was for your son, David. Okay, I didn't know what it meant exactly. I thought it was some parable or something. I thought you were sending me a parable. Yeah, because I had four birdies grow in the clay pot. They flew away today. Like Danny says, they graduated. They were in a hole on the side of the house. Had to take them out, so I placed them in a clay pot and hung the pot under the light. I thought that was a parable, man. I mean, I think, is this a parable she's sending me? What's going on over here? I couldn't figure that one out. That is so funny. That is so funny. Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. I'm looking at it going, I had four birdies grow in a clay pot, which is really amazing. They flew away today. I think there's something to that message. I had four birdies grow in a pot, clay pot, and they flew away today. They graduated. They were in a hole, of a house, had to take them out, but placed them in the clay pot and hung it pot under a light. Where did you get that idea? You Google that or something? Hung it under the light? That is really kind of cool. I'm laughing so hard. Oh, okay, sorry. Hey, I mean, listen. I don't take anytime anybody sends me something, I look at it. Even if they didn't mean to send it to me, I'm going, there's got to be something to that for sure. So there's something about four birdies graduating. Maybe there's some graduations fixing to happen. I don't know. Anyway, all right, message and messenger. There you go. I don't know. Hey, whatever. All right, 240-482, who am I talking to you from?
Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. All right, Valerie. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for considering things, for consideration, for considering things. And your considerations for others, you know, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When you consider, mercy for others, or you consider other people, in your time and your love, whatever it is, it comes back to you, you know. And so I really see God bringing some things back to you, the things that have been lost, things that have been stolen, things that have been robbed, things that have been through misunderstanding, through you know, being at the wrong place at the wrong time and looking like something was one way when it really wasn't, and just things get twisted and messed up. Valerie, I see God untwisting those things and unveiling those things and making those things right. It's kind of like Joseph's situation, that everything just got twisted and messed up. He's like, Joseph's like, oh, man, how did that happen? How did I get messed up? I mean, one day I'm with my father and I mean, everything's great, and then my family rejects me and I'm ousted and I'm in this strange land with these strange people, you know, and, you know, what's going on? And yet the whole time, you know, God was, you know, doing something with him. He untwisted, he unraveled it for him when he said, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. So thank you, Jesus, for Valerie, God, that you're untwisting things, you're unveiling things, you're the things that got stolen and robbed through the twisting. Sometimes the enemy just twists stuff. Sometimes the enemy can create a situation that can just like, you know, sometimes I've had things happen to me, I'm like, how in the world did that happen? I don't even know how that happened, and they're blaming me for it. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, stuff, just crazy stuff, out of the blue, just go weird. And I'm going like, how in the heck, what was doing it? There were some spiritual forces at work. You know, there was some type of, sometimes it's God, sometimes it's the devil. Sometimes I couldn't tell which one it was. I'm just being real honest with you. Sometimes I can't tell which one it is. They're going, God, what's up with that? But it doesn't matter, because either way, it's like in Joseph's situation, God is the one that kind of mixed it all up. And he unraveled it and unfolded it for him. Sometimes the devil does mess with stuff. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because what Satan does mean for evil, God's going to turn for good, Valerie, and God's really going to put that inside you. Well, it doesn't matter. Did the devil do that or did God do that? You know what? You know, I mean, we need to learn from everything, but it don't matter who did it. You know, because you're giving your heart to God and you keep on like doing like Joseph did and keep serving him, keep worshiping him, keep looking to him, he's gonna make it work out for your good. Yeah, and even if Satan did mean it for evil, Satan did get in there and destroy, you know, God, like in Joseph, God took it and he turned it for his good. We got to believe for that. A lot of times we condemn ourselves when things go weird and crazy. That's what I do. First thing I do is like, man, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do to mess it up? What did I do? I mean, honestly, you know, so I had to come up with this thing like, okay, God, if I messed it up, I think that's what Joseph was thinking, like, man, I shouldn't have. Man, as he grew up and got older, he's like, man, I can't believe I told him they're going to bow down to me. How stupid was that? No wonder they threw me away. So he started blaming himself, and he started realizing, okay, God, so I've kicked myself over that one. I shouldn't have said that. All right, so man, blah, 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 blah. Why did you tell me? Why did I? Yeah, I'm so excited. I told everybody about it. They're all going to bow down to me, and then all of a sudden, I was 3 days later, I'm not even there anymore. I'm like out in the whole new world. What happened? It went crazy overnight. Yeah. But, you know, but God. So it doesn't matter whether it's Satan really doing something or God, whatever it is, because Joseph kept trusting God and kept serving God, because he did, kept his eyes on Jesus, kept his eyes on God and his laws and work. He is faithful and loyal. You know, God worked every bit of it out for his good. So we don't have to live in regret. I wish I would have said this. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I guarantee you, Joseph had those regrets. And the whole time, God took it all and used it for good. Yep. All right. 847-239. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. All right. Stephanie from Illinois. Thank you, Lord, for Stephanie. And we thank you, Lord, for the abundance, God, that you show her that she doesn't need to fear abundance. People who fear abundance, like I have feared abundance before, and I still do a little bit. You know, I'm working on that. God is working on that with me to even be able to talk about it with big, you know, fearing abundance, because, oh my God, if I got an abundance, I might, you know, just forget God. I might, you know, just get lost in all of it and get greedy and blah, blah, blah. And all that. You know, I mean, all the different things. My dad used to tell me, yeah, the people that got all that money, they got it by getting crooked, by being crooked. You know, it's kind of like, well, I don't want to be crooked. You know, I don't want to be, you know. So there's all these different lies and all these different things, Stephanie, that we get about, you know, if I were a rich man, la-da-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-da-da-da-da-da, na-da-da, and I left it, whatever, you know, the fiddle on the roof, if I were a rich man. You know, he never was a rich man. I don't know what his deal was, but who cares, right? So we're not really trying to be rich, but we can't be afraid of riches either, because the fear of riches, that just keep us from getting riches that we need to pay our bills. But it keeps us from getting the riches of Christ, because the riches are riches. the riches of Christ can equal riches in the financial realm. That's what it didn't mean that it will, but it can. That's why Joseph ended up dealing with a lot of money. A lot of money went through that man's hand. I mean, my God. All the land of Egypt. He purchased the land of Egypt for Pharaoh in the famine. I mean, a lot of money went through his hands, boy. Oh, my God. You know, so money everywhere. If you're afraid of it, Joseph was good at it because he wasn't afraid of it. He wasn't afraid of wealth. He knew that wealth was the thing that God blessed and God used it to take care of people and to do things and to get God's way. So God helped Stephanie to whatever area of wealth she fears, rebalance it out and help it and help her straighten it out in her heart, God, so she can flow in the wisdom and the riches of your wisdom and your grace and your knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God, and the financial realm. She has to be afraid of it because, one, I will get you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So when your soul prospers, you're going to prosper. I mean, come on, that's it. You know, I don't know how much you're going to prosper, but that's what's going to happen. When your soul prospers, you're going to prosper, and you're going to be in health. Yeah. All right. 720-819. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hello?
Yes, 720-819. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, we weren't sure if we were on. Jeff and Yuki, Colorado.
Yes, Jeff, Colorado. Yes, thank you. Jeff and Yuki, thank you, Lord, for you, God. I thank you for the laughter, God, that laughter. God, that laughter. I see this gut-busting, belly-flopping, laughing your head off, laughing your belly off, whatever that means, laughing your belly off, I've heard of it. Laughing. There's something about laughing from the gut, man. Yuke, there's something about that. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing her, for enriching her, for opening up her belly. The Bible says out of your belly will flow rivers of laughter, rivers of living water, rivers of laughter, rivers of love. And I see you laughing with rivers of love. Like laughing because of love, laughing because you feel love, laughing because, you know, I can't believe I love that person. I can't believe I felt love for that person. I can't believe I love. What's wrong? What's going on with this love thing? And the love of God pouring through you out of your belly like a river. And you just laughing and laughing and laughing. God, open that up in Jesus' name. Pour it through her like a river in Jesus' name. Lord, bless Jeff. God, I think that is hands up. I see you praising God. I see you breaking through in the realm of, instead of trying to figure everything out like we all do. I'm always trying to figure everything out. So when I give it to God and I lift my hand, I finally yield it to him and say, okay, God, I tried to work that out, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to work it out and using, you know, believing God. And sometimes God just says, I'm just going to work it out, man. You're not going to be able to figure it out. You're not going to be able to know how it happened, how it worked out. You're not going to be able to figure that out. It's just going to happen. And I see you lifting your hands, praising God, going, hallelujah. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that worked, but praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Because the more we try to work it, the more we mess it up, right? I mean, that's what I do. That's what happens. The more I try to figure it out, the more I try to, you know, do it. The more Abraham and Sarah try to figure it out and work it, what they do, they mess it up big time. That's what we do. I've done it. We do it. It happens. It's not just the good people that do everything right, and the bad people mess it up. Well, we all mess it up sometimes. I mean, so the more they try to figure out why it's not happening, and the more they work their brain and they came up with a really good idea, it just happened to be really screwed up. That was the problem. It just really messed up a lot of stuff. So I thank you, Lord, for his hands going up, for his hands. And God, I don't know how you did that. I don't know what happened, but my God, you did it. And God's trying to show you, just like he showed Abraham, Jeff, that Abraham's going, him and Sarah going toward Egypt, and he said, man, tell him you're my half-sister. Tell him you're my sister because they're going to kill me, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And what he did was like, you know, God just told him I'm going to protect you, and he had a hard time believing it because he knew how real life was. You know, they're going to come after her, and they're going to kill me and take her, and, you know, I'll be left with nothing, and I'll be dead, and she'll be alive having Egyptian babies or something. It's going to be crazy. So just go ahead and tell him you're my sister. So he did it, and yet the whole time, he didn't really understand how God was going to protect him, but he found out that God protected him in spite of him doing his stuff of, you know, trying to work it. He was trying to work it, man. You can tell Abraham and Sarah like to work it because of this and because of, you know, when they came up with the idea to take Hagar as to have a child, you know, for God, which is, had nothing to do with God at all. So, you know what I'm saying? So even though they messed that up, that God was trying to prove to Abraham, he said, even though you doubted, you know, even though you struggled, even though you did try to figure it out and do your own thing and, you know, tell him you're my sister because, you know, this way. God says, you know, I protected you anyway. I worked with you anyway. And then when you walked out of here, you walked out blessed. And Abraham was walking out with all these new sheep and cattle and horses and slaves and servants and all because of, you know, Sarah, like, you know, it's okay. Pharaoh just blessed him, man. So I can be nice to you because God is with you. And he and Jacob was like, man, all that stuff I tried to figure out and try to work, it didn't do any good. God just blessed me anyway. So he just lifted his hands and went, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God, thank you. And you'd think he'd learn after that one, but he didn't. But he got it as he went along. He did get it. He did get it, and you're getting it, and y'all are getting it. It's good. All right, 863-808. Anyone want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl.
All right, Sheriff from Florida, I think. Yeah, Sheriff. I know Sheriff from Florida. All right, Sheriff from Florida, messenger. God seen showing you as a messenger, showing you that he's making you a messenger. And messengers have messages. And messages got to come from God when they go out. You know, Paul the Apostle, you know, didn't always say, thus saith the Lord with everything he got. Sometimes he would say, I feel this and I feel that. You know, he said, I'm saying this about marriage. He said, the Lord's not saying it, but I'm saying it. And he said, I think I have wisdom from God. So sometimes your message can be what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're feeling. And it may not always be, oh, thus saith the Lord thing. And then you have the realm where thus saith the Lord is, where God says, you know, this is it. And sometimes you're going to be right in both realms. It will definitely be right when God says, but also being right sometimes in that realm of feeling and learning how that God gives you the desires of your heart. And sometimes information comes simply by the desire realm. And so you learn how to work with that. You learn how to work. I've learned how to work with that. I don't always get a let's say, for the Lord. Sometimes I feel things. You know, I'm thinking like people ask me, is this God or not? I'm going like, I don't know. I think, it, you know, maybe I feel it. And so many times I find out that my feelings, you know, because they're coming from the Lord, are right. And so and sometimes they're not. So it's the message. God's making you a messenger. And the messages come many different ways. And if you don't learn the different ways the messages come, you're going to miss them. You know, Paul the Apostle learned all the different ways that God speaks. You know, sometimes he speaks to others. Sometimes, you know, sometimes he was rebuking the apostles. And when he didn't really walk with Jesus, and they did, he was rebuking Peter, telling Peter, man, you hypocrite. You know, you're being a Jew to the Jews, and you're being a Gentile to the Gentiles. You know, you're, you know. What are you doing? So he had to correct him. He was a messenger to people that were, quote, you know, better than him, who walked with Jesus. He didn't walk with Jesus, not like they did. And yet there he was. They were the apostles. He was the apostle added on. And so he was a messenger to them, and he had to speak to them plainly about when the Lord gave it to him. And, of course, he wasn't disrespectful and wasn't ugly and wasn't rude like, you know, we can be sometimes. So God showing you how to be the messenger means, you know, sometimes we speak words privately, sometimes we speak words publicly, and when you learn how to become the messenger, you learn all those different things about how to deliver messages and the purpose of them, and you know why some words are private, why some words are public, why some words come by what you feel, like Paul said. He said, "This is not. I'm not saying this is the Lord. I'm saying this is what I feel. This is what I think, and I think I have wisdom from God." So he was almost saying, thus saith the Lord, but he wasn't really saying, thus saith the Lord. And he was a messenger. Messengers have to find all the different ways that God speaks and let it be done. Amen? And, yeah. So, there you go. All right, 864-313. Am I talking to your friend, please?
Yeah, Walter from South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. All right, Walter. You know, do what you say, Walter. Do what you say. When you say you're going to do something, do it. Do it. And if you can't do it, apologize. You know, don't get yourself under condemnation, sitting there being a double-minded person. you know, because that double-minded, not that we can't all be double-minded sometimes, we can. I can be sometimes, it can happen. But to make sure and get that right so you don't, so the devil doesn't condemn you with it. Because it's not more about being straightened out and getting everything perfect. It's about keeping that condemnation off of you. The more you build that condemnation up and you tell somebody you're going to do something and then you don't do it, it's not about whether you did it, whether they needed what you're going to do or not. It's more of, you know, that you didn't fulfill your word and now you're condemning yourself with it, or, you know, the devil is. And he has a right to do that. The thing is, oh, the devil don't have a right to ever condemn me. Yeah, if you're saying something, you're not doing what you're saying, then he can have the right to condemn you. And that condemnation will mess with you, take you out and take you under. So the whole message here is that let God show you how to, you know, when you do say something out of feeling obligated and you really didn't know the Lord was saying, you said, yeah, I'm going to do this for you, you know, and you end up not doing it, you know, don't let that just sit there, you know, get it right, because it's for your benefit. It's for, so the devil can't condemn you. So the devil can't, you know, smash you like a bug, because he'll do it. And God started showing me all these different ways, Walter, of how the devil was condemning me and how I was condemning myself. And when I started getting set free of some of that, man, my whole relationship with God changed. The word of the Lord changed. You know, how I live and how I prophesy, all that changed. How I flow in the gifts of the Spirit, all changed. Because I learned, I don't take it all off. I don't know. I don't think I deal with all of it, but I've dealt with a lot of it. And when you deal in the supernatural realm, the devil wants to condemn you to hell in one little moment, even if you didn't do anything wrong. If it looks like you did something wrong, he's going to, like, be on you. You did that wrong. And, you know, many times that happened to me, and I found out the word I gave was exactly right. It didn't seem right to me. It sounded crazy to me, but I thought, man, I think I missed it on that one. No, I got it. But, boy, the devil ran me through the ringer. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that. And then, you know, of course, I agree with him. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. And, man, the stuff. So when I learned how to deal with that, I spent a lot of time condemning myself and letting the devil condemn me over stuff because I didn't handle it. I didn't deal with it. When I said I was going to do something and I didn't do it, if I didn't say, I'm sorry, I messed that up, then I would still be carrying that 3 months later, 3 years later. Go get it right, man. Say, I'm sorry, man. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I said I could do this, do this, do that. I didn't do it. And don't make a bunch of excuses. Just say you didn't do it. But it's all about God keeping you clean and pure in the condemnation realm. If we all say things that we wish we wouldn't have said, or we obligated ourselves to something that we, you know, wasn't God. So we couldn't do it because we couldn't, the provision didn't come or whatever. But we need to make it right, get it right the best we can. Because it's all about being free of condemnation. Because when you try to walk in the supernatural, condemnation is the greatest tool that he uses to take you out, take you down. Believe me, I know. And it worked very effectively. So God's going to give you strategies on how to keep your heart clean, where you don't live in a double-minded, I'm going to do this for you, then you don't do it, and then you live in the, like you're a hypocrite, man. That's what the devil tells you. You know, you're a hypocrite. You know, you're a liar. You know, all this stuff. And I've dealt with it, man. I've dealt with it. And sometimes the devil had the right to say that. Sometimes he didn't, but he said it anyway. And learned to get the things right that he had a right to tell me I was wrong about and condemn me for. And some of the things he didn't, you know, I told him to take a hike. Yeah. Jesus didn't say take a hike. He said get behind me, but I say take a hike. All right, 951-966. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Regina from California.
Oh, hi, Regina. Okay, Regina. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of God. For the blessing of God. The blessing of God, Regina, sometimes God just, you know, wants us to see this. The thing about unmerited favor is something that I've really dealt with in the realm of being blessed, because being blessed is our own personal righteousness is good and important with God, but we're saved. We're not saved by works, and we can't lose our salvation by works. So when you're saved, you're saved by the grace of God, and it's a gift. Everything else is worked out through the works of faith. So God really opening your ear to hear his voice about, you know, I see God's voice going from being kind of tough to being really tender with you in a lot more broader way, in the tender voice of Jesus. and the tender compassion of the Lord speaking over you, speaking to you, you sensing His tenderness and His love and His compassion and His tenderness, and that's going to bring you to a place of blessing, great blessing, because the tenderness of the Lord is going to cause you to be moved with compassion. And when Jesus was moved with compassion, something happened. Something, you know, something broke. Because when when compassion moves you and you move with it, it fixes something. It changes something. It can change somebody's mind. It can fix somebody's heart. You know, and God's really teaching you how to, when compassion or mercy is moving or tenderness is moving, that you move with it. Because when you do, and it's His tenderness flowing through you, His mercy, His works, His power flowing through you, it changes things. It can change your child in a moment. It can change, you know, our enemies into our friends in a moment. Because of the tenderness of God. Sometimes the tenderness of God has to come through people they have become our enemies. Like we're their enemy. We're not their enemy. But so to our enemies, how God makes our enemies friends is that we in tenderness we pray over them. In tenderness we speak the tenderness of God, the compassion of Jesus. Because like Job had compassion on his friends who gave him all the wrong information. So I just see you and God giving you the ability to forgive them and bless them and be tender toward them. That's what God told Job. He said, be tender toward them and pray for them. You can't pray for people without being tender toward them. I mean, in real prayer. So when he prayed for them, he was tender toward them. And they deserve some pretty harsh words. They deserve that. But he gave them unmerited favor and that tender compassion on them. What it did, it changed his situation. Whether it changed theirs or not, we don't know, but it changed his situation, and he got double. So same thing with you. Release that compassion and that tenderness. I know you already do that, but God's going to give you a whole other level to do it. Amen. And it's about, it can change him and move them, but it's more about putting you in position. I can deal with Job. All right, 804-218, you want to talk to your friend, please? 804-218. All right, it's Angie. You want to check in, Angie? Angie, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for new testimonies, the power of the new, the power of the new. You know, behold, all things becoming new, even some things that are old, been around a long time, whatever, becoming new. Like your relationship with God, been around a long time, it's old, but it's becoming new. And I see old things becoming new, you know, maybe old relationships, different things, you know, and things becoming new inside of you, like giving you a whole new way of looking at people, a whole new way of looking at a particular person, a whole new way of seeing them, a whole new way of opening your heart to them, a whole new way of speaking to them, a whole new way, just whole new ideas, new things, new ways, new ideas, build all things becoming new, like God giving you new things and making the way, making a pathway for the new. In Jesus' name, so Lord, I thank you, Lord, for making that pathway of the new for her, in Jesus' name, giving her a mindset for the new, to believe for the new, to look to the new, hope for the new, to see things to the new, because we go from glory to glory, so we go from one glory to the new, it's going to be new, right? If we get stuck in the same old glory, then it's wonderful, but hey, there's always a new one. A new one is not like the old one, right? So thank you, God, for opening her up to that place, God, in Jesus' name, of the new. Behold, all things become new, in Jesus' name. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, y'all, I think that's it for tonight. It's my last caller with their hand up. All right. So if you don't have your hand up, just at midnight, after midnight, like 12, 15, something like that. Great night. I had Miss Lundy, so I'm glad I'm feeling back. Thank you for praying for me, all that. I really appreciate it. Kindness of God, the tenderness of God comes through His words. I mean, it's amazing. That's why I love the Word of the Lord. you never know how God's going to touch somebody or speak to them. I mean, I never know. It's truly amazing. I wish I could say I had something to do with it, but I just open my mouth and he just blesses me and graces me. And literally, it's amazing. Give unto the Lord. Give unto him all you have and all you are, your time, your love, your compassion. Give it all to him. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. Oh, my gosh. Wow. We give him all, and God blesses us with all riches, all blessings and spiritual places and heavenly places, blessed with heavenly blessings. Heavenly blessings are things that come from God through people many times and just come, you know, necessarily through because we deserve it or anything. It's because God loves to be gracious. He loves to be kind. He loves to be gracious. He loves it. It's one of his favorite things to do. To just love, literally, and show love and share love. And love helps us work our issues out and our problems out. Because you want to work it out because you love. All right. I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. I think that's it. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for giving. Thanks for God drawing you to help us if he does that. It would be awesome. We'll receive it. And we're looking at property right now again. I got something on my mind that I don't want to say until I know for sure this time. It's different. A lot of room. You know, the building is plenty big and you get a good price. So I'm going to do some work on it. But if that's God, we'll let you know about that. We'll let everybody know about it eventually. But that's what's up, man. All right. Love you guys. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for thinking about PGN and praying for us as we get this building season and moving forward with the studio and production and all that. Wow, I've missed it. I've missed it dearly. Wow. I just feel like we're on a blessing roll. That's what bless us. It's going to be awesome. All right. Good night, everyone. We love you. Thank you very much for being with us, and thanks for listening. Thanks for drawing the grace of God out of me, out of this vessel. Amen. We love you. Thank you. Bye.